talked about.
Hold your breath. Count to two. Come with us in a world of pure imagination. Take a look and you'll see into our imagination. We'll begin traveling in the world of our creation. What you'll see will have no explanation.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G. Ah!
Avid podcast listener. Just caught up with some of the episodes. I guess you guys have made some personnel changes down there. You guys aren't doing the surf report anymore in the morning? This is an outrage. I'm switching radio stations. I'm going to listen to Rick Dees in the morning. He's got a quirky little way of saying the weather. He says Dees Grease.
When you're the absolute best, you get hated on the most.
And now,
your mother should know.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is 5:36. It's Tuesday, the 9th of March.
Wow.
Or June.
Wow.
Are we keeping track of how long it takes Kevin to screw up each show? Because I thought that would be an interesting chart.
That may be a record right there. So.
Yesterday was Brian Williams for Brian Wilson. Today it's March for June. What's going on with you, dude?
A lot of things, Bean.
Although I will say,
a lot of bad things.
Ladies and gentlemen,
two days in a row. Thank you.
2 days in a row, Kevin has showed up for work.
2 days without an accident.
That's right. We need to put that sign up on the wall. It's funny. How are you, Allie?
I'm doing good. I love March. It's one of my favorites.
March is great. It's beautiful out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
How many Hannibals did you watch yesterday?
Three. Thank you.
You're still binge watching through to get caught up for season three?
I am. Why didn't you tell me?
Well, we did, first of all. And second of all, how many episodes are there in season one and two? I don't
13.
Remember. 13 each. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you
pretty
got
standard.
Got a ways to go.
Yeah.
All right. So you're about halfway there.
Feeling good.
So. I feel good that somebody, I mean, granted, it's you. I mean, you have to listen to the show. You have no choice. But here's how bad our show is. They have to pay Allie to listen to it. I feel good that you heard us raving about how great Hannibal was, and you said, hey, I'm going to check that out because Kevin and Bean said it's good. And now you did, and now you're happy. So that makes me happy.
Well, for you two to vehemently agree
on something happens.
It means it's kind of special.
But we've done that so often and gotten zero response that we're just used to just spouting off and then going, all right, well, no one cares about that, so I'm just going to move on. All right, good.
People ignore us. So. Yeah. That's awesome. Hey, here's a great story to get us started before we move on to today's beautiful March day, and that is this man in New York who, for reasons that will become evident, has requested that his name be kept out of the press. He went to the police. He had been interacting with a psychic in Manhattan. Did you see this guy?
I did not.
I did.
32 years old, lives in Brooklyn. He went to visit a woman. She's a psychic there named Priscilla Del Maro. And he went to see her in August of 2013. And he said, I think that evil spirits are keeping me away from a woman that I love. For some reason, she does not love me back. Is there anything you can do to help me get with this woman who I should be with?
So he thought the evil spirits were just keeping the woman from liking him back?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
So she said, that's what I do. I can totally help you with that. I talk to the spirits, and here's what you need to do. You need to pay me. And you need to keep on paying me, and I'm going to work this out for you. So here are some of the payments that the man gave the fortune teller over the course of a year plus. He spent $80,000 for what she said would be an 80-mile bridge that she would be building in her mind, I guess, to trap evil spirits into another realm so they would not be able to get to the woman.
Did you say 80,000 already?
80,000, yes. She needed a $30,000 Rolex that she said would cleanse the sins of his past. Another $40,000 for a Tiffany diamond ring that would protect his energy. Various other payments totaling as much as $40,000. So he had spent hundreds of thousands of dollars by time February of 2014 rolled around. It had been 5 months at that point that he'd been going to the fortune teller. And by the way, not any closer to getting together with his lady love. Then he found out something disturbing, that the woman he had been pining after had died.
Wait. When?
At some point during the 5 months that he had been trying to win her back by beating the evil spirits with the cash to the fortune teller. So he found out that she was dead. Understandably, he's upset. So he goes back to Mr. Del Maro and he says, hey, what up? And she says, don't worry. I can help you seek out a new Michelle So here's what you need to do now, and started charging him even more payments.
Oh, no.
At some point, he got wise and went to the police. At that point, he was out $713,975.
Where did that poor bastard get all his money?
Doesn't say here.
Wow.
33 years old, by the way, and he's got $700,000 to throw away in 6 months, basically. So she and a 27-year-old accomplice named Bobby Evans were arrested on May 26th. Their lawyer denies the man's allegations. I don't know how they're going to prove something like this, except the money trail.
Yeah, I guess they can prove the money, but other than
that. Yeah, but who knows what their arrangement was or who told what. I doubt that very much there's a contract. There may be a way out of this. I don't know. But it didn't work. I guess he just didn't spend enough money, right?
Yeah. You really have to grease those people's palms a little bit.
I like that when he found out she was dead, her reaction was, I'll put her soul in another woman.
Sure.
It'll be just the same as Michelle.
A new Michelle. Absolutely, yeah. Oh.
I'm surprised she didn't first go with, I can contact her over there.
Right.
Try that for a while, but apparently she didn't need that at all. This guy, $730,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you really feel bad for him?
Yes.
Really?
I do.
Yeah, there's got to be some damage there, don't you think? I mean, if he's just an idiot, of course, then you don't feel quite so bad. But if there's some damage there and he's just, I don't know, it just seems like it's, you know, he's being misled a bit. Anyone? No?
Yeah.
Let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
Do you have any skill at all other than magically failing your way to the top?
How dare you. Bodybuilders are now buying breast milk.
Whatever it takes, man.
Whatever it takes.
Hey, on iZombie, bodybuilders are buying brains. People right. do a lot of crazy stuff to try to get ripped.
Right, but that's a TV show, iZombie.
Well, that's a documentary about the zombie
It's
culture.
Not a documentary at all, no.
I believe it's true.
An actual TV show. Also in the program today, Harvey Levin from TMZ. We usually do that on Mondays, but he was unavailable yesterday. We have a new Bachelorette report.
Fantastic. I hear there was more rapping last night.
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, really?
That's so magical.
That's what I hear.
They should wrap every episode. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yes.
Stepping outside of that limo, my nerves are such a mess. But hopefully all you noticed was my knockout dress. I dropped that bomb and I love making you laugh. I've been working so hard, yeah, time and a half.
Flying down low rapids, my heart is beating fast. I hope I don't fall out so I can just make love last.
Pretty high bar right there. I don't know that they're going to beat that.
Oh. Why are you so white?
Good question.
We also have Dave Broom in the studio. He is from The Briefcase.
Co-creator, co-host, executive producer of one of the hottest shows on television right now, The Briefcase. It's a lot of doom and gloom for a briefcase.
Yeah. And we're going to take a look at Apple Music. It's a new streaming service.
I'm very excited.
Tell you all about that this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat. Next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54.
We are the show, by the way, that is giving you Mumford & Sons tickets for their upcoming date at the Forum. Also, Florence and the Machine tickets for the Hollywood Bowl of Monsters and Men at the Greek and Imagine Dragons at the Forum or the Honda Center. A lot of great tickets up for grabs this week on KROQ, including here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And your first chance to win comes up next hour between 6 and 7 o'clock. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, boys and girls.
What's going on with you?
Well, it is Tuesday. And you guys were mentioning Monsters and Men, and that makes it new release day. And they've got a new CD of Monsters and Men's Beneath the Skin drops today. Pick it up now.
I like that band, and I was impressed with them at the Weenie Roast.
I was too. Muse, their new CD, Drones, is available this week as well. Shepherd has Bombs Away. And Franz Ferdinand and Sparks, FFS, has a self-titled new album called FFS.
That's an interesting combination, those two bands together.
On DVD, you can pick up these movies if you haven't seen them in theaters. Kingsman, Secret Service is available on DVD.
So good.
The Duff, Robbie Amell and Mae Whitman, and Project Almanac. That's that time travel movie, right?
I think
those
so.
Those kids going through time.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd like to go through time. If I could turn back time, you know what I would do?
Oh, man.
I would take that back.
We went back in time to March earlier this morning, Ralph.
Yes, I heard. TV shows on DVD. Teen Wolf, Season 4. Last Ship, Season 1. The Original Season 2 and Facts of Life Season 6 is all available.
Know What's Happening releases today?
No. Sorry, sadly for Allie.
Say no. Facts of Life.
What, you heard me.
Season 6, though, which was, I've been waiting for that one.
Me too. That's the one where the girl in the wheelchair is telling jokes, right?
Do you mean Jerry?
Jerry.
All righty. Let's move
Blair,
on.
My
nope.
cousin.
Nope.
Hey, you know, right on the heels of the rumor that the Kardashians were going to rent out Disneyland for Northwest's second birthday, comes this actual news where Kim Kardashian reportedly rented out the Staples Center yesterday for Kanye West's 38th birthday so he could celebrate with his friends on the basketball court. How much look at me do they have to have? And what does it take to make them happy? The only way you can have a good birthday is if you rent out the Staples Center?
By the way, I saw a picture of Kanye in the Staples Center with his friends, and he was miserable.
He's always miserable.
I know, but I'm saying this doesn't even help.
Right. Why spend $200,000 on renting out the Staples Center if he's going to be miserable anyway?
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
Yeah, it was, as you can imagine, just loaded with douchebaggery. John Sally was the announcer.
Okay.
James Harden and rapper 2 Chainz were the coaches of the two different teams. John Legend sang the national anthem.
What's happening?
I just want you all just to stop. Justin Bieber was on the team.
Sure.
Tyga, Pusha T.
It's quite a game.
Let's remember that Justin Bieber rented out the Staples Center for his own for
right.
Valentine's Day to with Selena Gomez a few years ago. Remember?
Titanic.
Yeah, that's yeah. right. Ralph, we were having a conversation off air with a certain person who will remain unnamed about how there are some adults who still believe their birthday is the only day in the world that matters to anyone ever.
Right.
And what's the damage with those people who...
They were not loved enough as
right?
a child.
That's it,
and
right?
So they're chasing after that. They have that gaping hole in their souls. They're just chasing after that love to fill it up as adults.
Do you have friends, Ralph, that remind you constantly when their birthday is?
I really don't know.
Well, you do. You just don't know it yet. Yeah. I think, am I wrong here, that the last birthday you're allowed to really get excited about is 21?
I can see that.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's worth a note if you turn 30. It's worth a note if you turn 40. But really, in terms of involving everyone in your life and making sure that they bow down to you.
Yeah. Wrapping yourself in streamers and walking around with, with a countdown, calendar in your chest is just a poor idea.
Hey, what are you going to do for me for my birthday, you guys?
Bad look. Jim Rome would say.
So, Tiara is no?
No.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
What? What are you talking about? We're talking about somebody.
We're talking about somebody that we know that talks about their birthday all the
time. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, okay.
All right.
The Game. Rapper The Game was arrested Monday after he allegedly punched an off-duty cop from the LAPD during a basketball game at Hollywood High's school gym back on March 29th. There was no word on why. There was nearly a 2.5-month delay from the incident to the arrest. But friends say sometimes The Game gets March confused with June.
I don't think that's part of the story.
So he's got a problem, because that is effed up.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
5:36, it's Tuesday the 9th of March. Or.
Wow.
Or June.
Wow.
Are we it's keeping track of how long it takes Kevin to screw up each show? Because I thought that would be an interesting chart.
That may be a record right there.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Shut up, Ralph. Don't look at me. Just shut up. Just move on.
I'm just...
Shut
it's
up.
It's not even about
I'm
making fun
shut
of you.
Up.
It's just about how does that even happen? How do those two things interchange? Where is the disconnect? What is so close? How is March and June... Why are they even possibly to be mixed up together in the same sentence?
Do you think I have an answer to that?
But you, if you don't, I certainly don't.
Don't.
You're much closer to the problem than I am. So if there is any clue, it's got to come from inside the dark recesses of that cavern you call a brain.
I know that my birthday's in March. I know that.
Maybe you're thinking about telling people about
your birthday. So it's probably what it's about.
I mean, you could blame a fever this week, but that doesn't explain the last 25 years, though.
Thank you, Bean. Fever.
But your fever broke. You're good as new. You're
right, I'm good as new now, but yeah. I mean, hangover.
Kevin told me last night he has the strength of 10 men plus a horse.
But then he did add a miniature horse.
A miniature horse, right.
It's not delightful.
It's a big horse. But he's not contagious, Ralph.
Right. No, he's not. Good. March, June, whatever. I guess if you live like a child, it doesn't matter. Every day is just a magical adventure, so it doesn't really matter what day of the year it is. Today's celebrity birthdays. Michael J. Fox is 54 years old today. Actor Johnny Depp celebrates his 52nd birthday. Look out, the Australians are after you, Johnny. Run! Matthew Bellamy, Muse singer, guitarist, is 37. Natalie Portman celebrates her 34th birthday. Actress Mae Whitman is 27 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us in about 15 minutes to talk about just craziness in the world. You think it's hard for Harvey to get out of bed in the morning to go to work to talk about some of the dumb things that he has to talk about on his site?
I don't know. I would imagine if you're him, it does get overwhelming to talk about pretty much the same people all the time.
Yeah, he does have a stable of people that we seem to have an inexhaustible appetite for, that's for sure. But he's probably waking up in a $30 million mansion, so he probably handles the strain pretty well. Hey, speaking of strain, the Chicago Blackhawks, who, Kevin, I know you were rooting for. Allie, you as well?
I'd like to see one of the original six win. Okay. But
they were surprised to lose at home last night to Tampa Bay, a city that I was really mostly unfamiliar with the fact that they had a hockey team. I know that they've won a Stanley Cup in the past, but doesn't it seem like Tampa Bay is not a place where you should find hockey?
Yeah, I guess, but so is Southern California.
I know. It's just been around long enough now that we are used to teams in Southern California. I still am not used to a team in Tampa Bay. But anyway, they are very, very good and very, very fast, and they were able to beat the Blackhawks at home last night, which is not an easy thing to do. They won that game 4-3, so they're up 2-1. But a lot of people were really – they had their eyes open for Blackhawks goaltender Ben Bishop last night because –
No, Lightning goaltender.
Excuse me. Yeah. Lightning goaltender Ben Bishop because of what had happened on Saturday night. Kevin, now you were watching the game Saturday night, and you had a lot of the same questions that the people in the arena had, the people on both teams had. Why don't you walk us through what you saw?
First of all, I've watched a lot of hockey. I've never seen this before. It was in the third period. It was in the finals, Stanley Cup finals, and the goalie just – 1 second he's there the whole game, Ben Bishop, he's their starting goalie, and he's there. And then the next second he's gone and there's a replacement, a 20-year-old guy from Russia. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, hey, anybody see the goalie? What happened? And apparently Ben Bishop like made a beeline for the locker room.
Now, a lot of players get subbed in and out during a game,
yes,
right? Not the goalie.
No.
Almost never.
Yeah, almost never, right.
A lot of times they'll pull a goalie and replace him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But usually a goalie doesn't just show up. It was weird. So he sort of – they get a camera angle of him running down toward the locker room. And they go, oh, it must have been an equipment malfunction. Mm-hmm. And then he comes back and he goes back in the game and the sub comes out. So now your original starter is back in.
All right.
And then he leaves – and the sub comes back in.
How long was he in the second time?
Probably minutes. Probably 3 or 4 minutes.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So, and then the sub finished the game. So then he was starting. He started last night again, and everybody's like, "Oh yeah, what's going on?" I'm telling you, I think there's poo happening. I think there's a poo disaster. What would explain that? Because equipment malfunction.
All right. Well, let's stop right there. Equipment malfunctions. Is that a thing that you see sometimes in hockey?
Sure.
And what kinds of things can go wrong on your suit?
Any number of things, but they're prepared to handle all of it.
In other words, like a strap would break on his pad on his leg or something like that. Okay. So, I mean, from a timing standpoint, that makes sense. If he leaves the game for 2 minutes, comes back in, and then he stays in the rest of the game, you can go, well, they must have fixed whatever the problem was. Adjusted his cup or whatever it was he needed, right?
Right.
But then when he leaves,
you adjust cups
or whatever. And then when he leaves again, though, you got to think, well, wait a minute. If it was an equipment malfunction the first time, what are the chances that it's a different equipment malfunction or that it wasn't fixed properly? That doesn't make sense. That almost kind of rules out equipment malfunction for the first time, right?
Now, for those of you that don't watch hockey, they never announce what the issue is. If you're injured, they'll say lower body injury. They don't ever say. So last night there was a lot of talk about his groin. Oh, he's got a problem with the left side of his body, his groin. Maybe he's injured. But that doesn't explain leaving and coming back and leaving again.
Right.
Like that's.
But here's the thing, too.
It's weird.
That's a lot of equipment to get off.
Yes, it is.
In terms of.
He seemed like he was in a rush.
It did. But maybe it was a rush call and then, okay, false alarm.
Maybe.
So
Allie, it sounds like you're on the poop train, too.
I am on the poop train, indeed. But I think maybe the first time he left, he was like, oh, no, false alarm. Let me go back. And then he got back in goal and was like, nope, this is real.
I like that you think there's only once, that could only happen once. Like, I picture both of them being a disaster.
You think he pooped twice?
Yes.
Really?
That's what happens.
That's
Look, here's the truth of the matter is that human beings are all that we have available to play these professional sports. And sometimes you don't time out when you eat versus when you poop. To your best advantage. I mean, who hasn't been on a road trip and thought, well, this is inconvenient? I mean, there are just times where that happens. I mean, I guess it's a surprise that it doesn't happen more often, right?
Now, I'm just guessing.
Sure.
That it's that. Because if it's an injury, they keep you out. They have stuff to treat you. But I don't know. It just doesn't add up. There's something that doesn't add up.
Do you think it was poop or do you think it was the runs?
Well, they're first cousins.
I mean, I was using those interchangeably.
Yeah, either one would
he
would
ran
want
off
you
the
to
ice.
Leave the ice.
He ran off the ice, if that's what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you have to imagine that happens to an athlete.
Yeah.
Because your body doesn't know that it's a finals game.
Right.
But the fact that they wouldn't talk about it at all, and they made a bigger point than usual to say, we're not talking about it, we're not saying what it is. But and usually, if it was something like an injury, you would just, like you say, oh, lower half, da-da-da.
Yeah, you'd be vague about it just to shut it down rather than stonewall it and make it obvious that you're lying.
They were adamantly weird about it.
Yeah, it was bizarre. Yeah.
Now, Kevin, what did you mean last night with your tweet about the Lightning goalie, Ben Bishop, about acting?
That was a whole different issue.
Oh, okay.
Which is that if you're a hockey player, you don't stay down on the ice unless you're seriously injured.
You think he was flopping?
Yes.
Okay.
And that doesn't happen in hockey. It happens in soccer, and it's an embarrassment to soccer.
Maybe he was just peeing while he was down there, thinking nobody would see it because it would go right under the ice.
It could be, and then it would just freeze.
This guy's got issues, you guys.
I didn't think about that.
Congratulations to Paul Jewett from Torrance. Just won tickets for Of Monsters and Men, one of the great shows we are giving away all this week here on the World Famous K-Rock. They, of course, are playing at the Greek. Keep on listening for your chance to win or choose among tickets from Mumford & Sons, Florence and the Machine, Imagine Dragons, and more details at K-Rock.com. This is very disorienting to have Harvey on a Tuesday. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Harvey, want you to know we were so sad yesterday to not be able to talk to you or one of your fine colleagues at TMZ.
You know what? I had to go to New York for business, and it occurred to me I could probably have done this by phone in New York, too.
They have phones in New York?
It's a high concept.
What?
I mastered it now.
Bean is very, very about schedules.
I really am. I mean, Monday means Harvey. And, you know, when you're not in, it's fine because we talk to Dax. We love Dax. We heard Dax with his kid. And then I said, well, that's okay. Let's just talk to Mike. We love Mike. He's always great. Nope, sorry. Mike's not available. So I'm just saying we were very upset, Harvey.
So how do you think I feel when you take those long weekends over holidays?
Yeah, that's true.
All right.
That is fair comment, my friend.
Touche.
All right. Ralph was talking a few minutes ago about this big Staples Center party. Kim Kardashian rents out the Staples Center for her husband Kanye West's birthday, $110,000. Is it awesome and cool because she's rich enough to afford it and who wouldn't do it? Or are they all giant douchebags for this party? What do you think, Harvey?
You know, if you call them douchebags, you're really just secretly jealous. I mean, it really is amazing. It's not just getting the Staples Center. I mean, I don't know whether she's paying these guys, but Russell Westbrook and John Wall are going to play with him, along with Bieber and Tyga, and John Sally is announcing this thing, and I mean, this is ridiculous. John Legend is there singing the national anthem.
Well, I'd just like to butt in and say that it makes a big difference if she's paying them or not. If she's not paying them, it's awesome. If she's paying them, then it's sort of lame.
Well,
is it though, Kevin?
I mean,
if you've got that much money and you can do something as a surprise for your spouse that's going to make them so happy. I mean, isn't that what people try to do all the time, is surprise somebody with something awesome for their birthday?
And look at the pictures, how happy
he was. He is genuinely happy.
Harvey, let me
ask you about that. Does Kanye not smile on purpose because he hates the media? He wants to give out that impression that he's tough? Well, he's got
to. I think it's changed.
You
really
do.
Oh, God. In the last 5-6 months, he has not only smiled, I mean, he's been friendly with the paparazzi. I mean, he stands there and jokes with them.
Jeez.
He has completely changed, and it's not just like a one-off where, you know, he does it once or twice. He's doing it all the time now. It really is weird. Huh. It is a complete sea change.
We hear all the time about people who get softened up by having a child. Do you think that has something to do with it?
Well, that's what everybody thinks.
Yeah.
That's what everybody thinks, that it just – it does kind of sync up with that. And, you know, it has been apparent. And it's really – it's fun getting him now. I mean, we used to not put him on the website or the television show because he was always, like, really sour and bitter whenever he saw anybody. So we just didn't shoot it. But now – I mean, he's fun. He's actually really fun.
I've missed that for 6 months.
That's
not the word you would think of to describe Kanye West. And by the way, tell me if this changes your mind, Kevin. So apparently Kim goes to Kobe Bryant, Magic Johnson, Carmelo Anthony, Shaquille O'Neal, Scottie Pippen, and others to record messages, birthday messages for Kanye that plays on the Jumbotron. That's cool, right?
Yeah, I guess it is, yeah. I mean, if they want to do it, that's my point. If they want to do it, fine. But if she's paying them, then it's sort of odd, isn't it?
Yeah, but think about renting. If she rented Justin Bieber to play basketball, it's pretty hilarious.
I didn't think of it from that angle.
That's a good point, Harvey.
It's actually pretty hilarious.
All right, I just want to ask one more thing because I think it's hilarious that we're talking about Kanye's birthday party at Staples Center, and now you've got The Game, who is never anywhere nearly as big a star, but he certainly has had his high points in music.
Pretty big.
He was, and he's playing what? He's playing at a YMCA. Where's he in trouble?
Yeah, he was playing, you know, one of those. He plays a lot of, you know, pickup basketball games, and he was playing with this guy, and they got into it, and he elbowed him, and one thing led to another, and the cops say that Game threatened to kill the guy, so they put a warrant out. The problem was the guy is a police officer.
The guy that he was fighting with on the court?
Yeah.
But didn't he know that?
No, he did not know it. Now, Game says it's a totally different story and that the guy was the one that was threatening, but either way, a warrant was issued. The Game turned himself in. He was in custody for about an hour. And it's happened to him enough that he was totally chill about this. It's like, yeah, I'm going to jail for a little bit, and then I'm going to go shopping.
It's just part of his daily schedule.
Right.
He's like, that's how we do.
Right.
That's awesome. All right, well, we'll keep an eye on that and all the other good stuff up at TMZ.com. Welcome back, Harvey. We certainly miss you. And, of course, TMZ and TMZ Live air on Fox Channel 11, TMZ Hollywood Sports, with a new time, by the way, on The Real Channel, Friday nights at 10. Do I have that right, Harvey? Is that right?
You got it.
Fantastic. Have a great week, sir. We'll talk again. Thank you.
You too, guys.
106.7 K-Rock.
Sorry.
It's KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's 6:51.
That song moves me.
Hey, was that...
Yes.
Yeah, sure was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rob, it's your time for the Showbiz Beat now on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
Everyone, celebrate. Relax. All is well. Degrassi has a new home.
Yay!
Remember how everyone was panicked because Degrassi, the Next Generation, was going away? It was ending. No more. Never make another one. It's all death and destruction. Said the headlines, and then you read the body of the article, and it would say, "Teen Nick won't be carrying that show anymore."
But for a few days, it was possible, Ralph, that the show was still being made in Canada, but would not be aired in the United States, and I think that was a legitimate concern of fans.
Well, in the actual stories, though, themselves, they would say they're actively looking for another broadcast partner in the United States. So you assumed it was going to show up again.
But reading is for losers.
That's a good point.
And needless panic is for Kevin and Bean.
Yes, it is.
Well, it happened. In short order, Degrassi has found a new home on... Anyone take a guess? What?
History Channel.
Yes, Kevin, once again, your keen, razor-sharp intellect has led you to the correct answer.
Excellent.
What media outlet is just snapping up all content everywhere?
Netflix,
that's right. Degrassi finds a new home on Netflix. And a new title. For the longest time, it was Degrassi, The Next Generation. But now it's Degrassi, Next Class.
Well, that's very different.
Yeah. Yeah. You know it's the longest running Canadian drama in history? Like 35 years it's been on the air.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Hey, is it any good?
Yeah, it's good if you like teen drama. You would probably love it, Bean. I'm surprised you don't watch it every day.
In your wheelhouse.
You guys are mainlining it into your veins. Having
really?
The actual prints, the 35-millimeter prints, distilled down into some sort of fluid and then just injecting them right into your arteries.
Those kids seem a little bit too old for my interest.
Oh, wow. Wow. Blech.
Blech.
Indeed.
Blech. Daddy no likey.
Oh, stop saying that.
Hey, congratulations to all the new inductees into the Video Game Hall of Fame. That's right. That's a thing. The Strong Museum in Rochester, New York has just opened the first ever World Video Hall of Fame. The first inductees are...
Can we guess?
Sure.
I don't have any guesses, but...
You don't have any guesses, like, what would be, like, in the world
Hall of Fame of
video games?
Frogger.
Frogger is an excellent guess, but you're very, very wrong, Allie.
Pac-Man
is the number one inductee into the World Video Game Hall of Fame.
Centipede.
Stop it.
Tetris.
Tetris also.
Really?
One of the very first inductees into the Video Game Hall of Fame. That is two. Let me see how many you have left. You're missing one, two, three, four more.
Four more.
Mario. Right.
Super Mario Brothers. No well explanation done. Needed there. That has absolutely been inducted in the class, the first class of Video Game Hall of Famers.
All right. How about the last video game I played, and I'm awesome at it. It's called Pong.
Pong?
Wow.
Which has been around since 1972, also inducted into the Video Game Hall of Fame. Did you just squeal squeal with celebration?
I guess I did.
Wow, that was
too much.
Yes!
That was a lot of excitement for Pong.
Pong is my game, you guys.
It's no one's game.
It's my jam. Video games didn't really go anywhere after Pong, as far as I'm concerned. That was really the height of
There was some cartoon on the other day that my daughter was watching, and as a gag, they said, oh, let's play this game. And they cut to the screen, and it was like, boop, boop, battles and a thing. And my daughter's like, what is that? And my wife and I were like, that was what was a video game when Mommy and Daddy were young. That was it. That was the coolest thing you could get for Christmas was the Pong on your TV.
It seemed so high-tech, didn't it?
Oh.
Like, you couldn't believe how cool
play
it was.
For hours staring at that freaking box going across, hitting a paddle.
Yeah, I mean, it was essentially...
It wasn't even a ball, it was a box.
It was ping pong is what it was on the screen.
Ralph, I'm listening to you, but I'm hearing Bean's...
Squeal.
Squeal.
Yes!
All right, let me... This is
way too much excitement.
This is a guest from the other room. The King of Mexico weighs in. Is it Donkey Kong?
Oh, yeah.
Donkey Kong, not in the first class. No. I'm sure it'll get in, you know. It'll get in. It'll be a second ballot Hall of Famer.
All right. What read the ones we've named again.
Pac-Man, Pong, Super Mario Brothers, and Tetris. By the way, Tetris created by the Soviets. Did you know that? Freaking commies.
I did not know that.
Kevin, you're old school video guy. What are you
not
really?
I'll give you an explanation in the sense that these games cover a wide variety of types of video games. Of course, they're the early pioneers, but also, for example... one of the first 3D first-person shooter games, which is developed much later into the history of video games, but still they think this is important enough to be inducted.
Not like a Minecraft type of thing.
No.
World of Warcraft?
World of Warcraft has
Whoa.
Been inducted.
Kevin!
And you're missing one more. My clue was a first-person shooter game. One of the legends.
That is not my area. I'm
no.
The Grand...
It isn't.
Grand Theft People?
Grand Theft
Auto, Grand Theft People. Auto, Grand Theft.
I haven't played Grand
they
Theft
shoot people
yet.
All right. No? More suggestions from the other room.
Call of Duty? Like, those people. Are those not the
those
same
are,
game?
Those are first-person shooter games.
Okay.
You're right.
They are, yes.
But
thank
it, this,
you.
Not the one this, you're looking this for. This one okay. is the OG. This one is the one that...
Casey Girl, their finger on the button, says Duck Hunt.
Duck Hunt?
No.
Is that a game?
It is, but it's not.
That's not it. Okay. No. All right, we give up, Ralph.
Doom. Doom.
Doom.
Doom.
Doom.
Doom.
Not Grand Theft People?
Not Grand Theft People.
I got to get my hands on that one.
It's real good.
Honorable mention went to Angry Birds, FIFA, The Legend of Zelda, Minecraft, The Oregon Trail, The Sims, Space Invaders, Pokemon, and Sonic the Hedgehog. All get honorable mentions, but have not, and yet will be inducted into the Hall of Fame, I'm sure, at some point.
No Frogger is an outrage. Who's right. with me?
No one.
No one has outrage for Frogger.
Frogger's stupid.
I guarantee someone does.
Like Ralph says, though, second ballot, you come back next year.
Sure.
That's right. This is Kevin's movie. They've just announced. There's an off-Broadway musical comedy called Zombie Prom, which is very popular in New York City. The producers have just picked up the film rights for Zombie Prom.
I want a good movie.
The story of a forbidden romance between rebellious bad boy Johnny and good girl Toffee, who falls in love with him. After falling into a nuclear reactor, Johnny returns to his love as a zombie. So, Kevin, buy your tickets now for Zombie.
Certainly no place to see zombies in America in 2015.
And congratulations to Garbage, celebrating the 20th anniversary of the band with a bunch of U.S. dates. The 20 Years Queer Tour will have Garbage play its entire debut album all the way through every night. That'll be cool. The tour begins on October the 6th in San Diego, runs through an October 29th show in Washington, D.C., and there'll be a two-CD reissue of that first album later this summer as well. So the summer of Garbage is upon us.
We love them.
We do love them.
We got word from the boss yesterday, Ralph, that they're trying to schedule an interview, trying to schedule the band to come in and spend some time with us in October.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Ralph's too excited.
I have to go.
Yeah.
I need to be out that day. I have to get waxed. No, I'm going to be in that day.
Oh, you wear a suit? You're going for it this time?
Oh, yeah. I got to get waxed. Got to get some hair plugs, some lipo.
Wow.
A chin implant.
I'm not sure we have that kind of time.
Some colored contacts.
Okay. He can get a lot done between now and October.
Right.
Got to get, other stuff done to me. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Mae Whitman is 27 years old today. Natalie Portman turns 34. Matt Bellamy from Muse, singer and guitarist for that band, is 37. A gentleman named Johnny Depp celebrates his birthday today. He is 52 years old today.
Wow.
Why will he not age? Why does he refuse to age? What is his problem?
That's not cool.
How kind of willpower does he have just to make his cells stay youthful all the time? He must constantly be clenching just to force his cells to remain youthful. And actor Michael J. Fox celebrates his 54th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
1 hour from right now, it's Tuesday. That means the Bachelorette Report with our friend Petros Papadakis and Ralph Garman talking about last night's edition of the Bachelorette on ABC. That's coming up. His name is Muhammad Abdullah Jamali. He is a fan. He's only 29 years old, by the way, so this is a surprise to me. He is a huge fan of the Dukes of Hazzard television show.
Is that still on?
It's probably in reruns on CMT or something, but I mean, how many 29-year-olds are into the Dukes of Hazzard, right? He's such a fan that he bought what some consider maybe the ultimate props that you can buy from that TV show, which is an actual General Lee, one of the cars that they used on the TV show, a 1969 Dodge Charger General Lee from the Dukes of Hazzard, autographed by the stars of the show. He didn't have it long, though, because after he paid $60,000 for it, he wrecked it. That's got to hurt, right?
I would think so.
That's not what you want with your collectibles.
Well, first of all, if you're totally into the show, you're bummed. Second of all, if you're using it as you hope to get some return on it, like an investment, bummed. Either
That's
way,
right.
It sucks.
Great point. Here's the report out of the great state of Virginia.
Just a good old boy.
So one of the most iconic cars in U.S. television history was frequently parked right around here in this super diverse western Henrico County neighborhood, at least until yesterday afternoon.
It was so nice to see, actually.
What's happening? Is this a newscast or is it just a dude with a camera?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, well, got in a bad crash yesterday.
Oh, that's bad. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, but the guy's okay.
Okay.
What's so now he's just going door to door?
Did you hear the General Lee got in an accident? Oh, that's terrible. He's all right.
Town crier.
It looked like a really expensive car to me.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Like how much? Worth how much?
Okay, they're playing basketball and they're asking a kid to guess how expensive a car is.
Wait, are you telling us the news or are we telling you the news, sir?
Well, about $5,000, $6,000.
More like $60,000. Jamali told his mechanic that's how much he paid for it in an auction in Florida about 6 months ago. It's an actual, authentic, autographed General Lee. State police say it's unclear what caused the single car crash on I-64.
single car crash.
Oh, interesting.
That's not good.
That means he was drinking, maybe.
We were discussing this at the end of the show yesterday, and I thought, I bet that happens to people all the time. I mean, he had this longer than I thought yesterday. He had it for a couple of months. But I bet that happens all the time where people buy something valuable, something that's precious, something that they treasure, and then somehow they ruin it. And I bet those are terribly sad stories that I would very much enjoy hearing from our listeners.
1-800-520-1067. I did get a car that, you know, sometimes they'll come out with like next year's model near the end of the year. Yeah. I got one of those and wrecked it immediately. And it took a month for them to get a part to fix it because they hadn't been
They hadn't even made them yet.
Right. They weren't making the replacement parts.
Because you can buy the model year like in the fall of the year before, right? That's what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Wow. 1-800-520-1067. What's the most valuable thing that you had for the shortest amount of time before you destroyed it? That's what we want to hear. When we brought this up at the end of the show yesterday, Sylvia wrote in, my husband and I went to a Star Trek auction years ago, and we bid on a poster that was signed by the entire cast of The Wrath of Khan. We paid $150 for it, which was a lot of money for us at the time. We left it in the dining room, and we went to work. We came home and found out that our cat had ripped it to shreds.
See, cats, right? Cats.
Well, that's not the point.
Oh.
It's just, it's $150 for a priceless item signed by, you know, Leonard Nimoy and William Shatner and all those people. A day later, their cat destroys it. Oh. That's not the investment you want on your showbiz prop.
No, but if you have that prop and you have a cat, I don't know, maybe...
Yeah, maybe don't leave it on the dining room table.
Put it someplace else.
It's a good point.
Remember yesterday when we were talking about...
Yes, I do remember it. Remember, I don't think we need to revisit
remember
that.
Remember we were talking about General Lee, and we were talking about how crazy it must have been for that guy to have bought it and then wrecked it right away. And Bean came up with this fantastic example.
Because you know that there are people who have bought elaborate crystal sets or whatever and dropped them down an elevator shaft. I don't know why. I just thought of those two things
together. Wait. Time out. What happened to that guy again?
He bought a very expensive set of crystal,
Ralph. Right? Because you know how popular the crystal sets are these days. Everybody's dying to put crystal
and what
on
happened
their
to
table.
Him?
And then what happened with the crystal?
He dropped it down an elevator shaft and shattered it all.
That happens so often.
You know, sometimes you're carrying your crystal
by an open elevator.
And then you go by those open elevator shafts where they're doing those repairs, and somehow I don't know what happens. I guess you trip on the corsage worn by the floor walker.
What just happened
at the department store? But then you drop it down the elevator shaft.
That's funny.
That was maybe not the best example I've ever.
Oh, that was good.
All right, let's talk to Eddie in San Pedro. He gets us going. Line two, please, at 1-800-520-1067. Again, the most expensive thing that you had for the shortest amount of time before you destroyed it. Eddie, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for calling. What happened, dude?
What's up, party people? Hey, I bought a drone. It was about $1,200. I had to wait 3 months to get it because it was on back order. I finally got it. I was really excited. I went to take it out for the first flight. And I was flying around showing it to my buddy, all the cool features that it has. And one of the features is it has a return-to-home feature, GPS.
Right.
So you press a button on the controller, it comes back to where it took
off.
Or
if the battery dies, right? Then it just automatically comes back?
Yeah, exactly. Or if it loses connection or anything. Well, not if the battery dies on the drone, it flies away. You know, I mean, it'll just drop. But basically, I was flying it around and I showed my buddy, oh, check out this return-to-home feature. I pressed the button. And it starts going up about 1,000 feet in the air, and then next thing you know, it goes the other way, and it keeps going and going and going, and I'm watching it, waiting for it to come back, and it just takes off and disappears, and I never found it.
That was the first time you flew it. It just flew away.
First time. I waited 3 months to get it, and I had it about a total of maybe 5 minutes, and it flew away. I spent the next 2 days, about 4 hours, walking, because it was in this park that had really high grass. It was about waist-high foxtail grass, a little pointy grass, and I walked through this grass for 4 days, getting poked and stinged, and never found it.
So Eddie, first of all, it's a terrible story. I know how disappointed you must have been. But did you contact the company and say, "Hey, there's a bug in your drone. It doesn't have the return home feature working"?
I told them that, and they said, "Did you wait for the GPS lock?" And I said, "What GPS lock?"
Yeah, it's user error. That's user error.
User error. Yeah. $1,200. So, did you buy another drone after that, or are you out of the drone business?
No, I've actually started making my own since then because it's cheaper and more fun.
Good for you. All right, Eddie, appreciate the call.
Did he just say he started making his own drones?
Well, yeah, a lot of people do that now. It used to be, you know, when the first ones came out, you had to go.
All right,
to the...
Crystal set an elevator. Take it easy.
All right, let's talk to Corey. Line three, please. Corey joins us from Riverside here on the Kevin Bean Show. Corey, thanks a lot for calling.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What did you destroy quickly after obtaining?
All right, I just bought a new truck. I had it the first week. I parked it into my my shop's little parking lot, and my 86-year-old boss slammed into it and wrecked the whole back inside of it.
Sweet. Oh. But at least it was your boss. It wasn't you. Does that help at all?
Well, I was watching the whole thing go down on the security cameras, and he tried squeezing in between my truck and another service truck and just took it. I just saw my whole truck start jumping and jumping and jumping, and then he reversed and did the whole thing all the way back.
Sweet.
Corey, forgive me, how long had you had the truck?
1 week.
1 week. You know, it's funny. Anytime you get a new car, you're terrified of that first ding, that first scratch. You don't even think somebody's going to wreck it for you, you know?
Oh, man. I've seen every ping and ding on this truck since I've gotten it, and it kills me every time.
Yep. That's tough. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. All right. 1-800-520-1067. You got a thing that was precious to you. It was valuable. It was memorabilia. It was whatever it was. You didn't have it long, and then somehow it all went bad. We want to take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 21 minutes after 7 o'clock. We're talking
sound
about...
Like, sound like you were going to say something there, didn't it?
We're talking about people who bought something super expensive and then ruined it immediately. Eric on Twitter says, I paid $300 for a Stormtrooper helmet and broke it when I fell off my bed while wearing it during sex.
I appreciate that.
Too good to be true, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Speaking of $300, let's go to line three, please. Suzanne is on the line from Alhambra. She also had a $300 item that didn't last long. Suzanne, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hi. So I'm getting my master's in English literature, and I try to not buy the books because they're really expensive, but I had a final coming up, so I had to buy this $300 English literature anthology. And I was studying for my final, and I got tired, and I went to bed, and the next day I came back, and my book was gone. So I'm looking and looking, looking all over the house, can't find the book. Finally, I go to the dog's bed, and he had taken the whole book and chewed it to shreds.
Sweet.
Oh, no.
Sweet.
And the funny thing is, I mean, it could have been a roll of paper towels, and he would have been just as happy chewing it. To him, it doesn't matter, but to you, it's a $300 book. That's unbelievable.
Yes, and I tried to salvage it, and it couldn't even be salvaged.
You tape it together and go, I want some money back for this.
Yes.
Thanks for the call, Suzanne. You're too smart to be listening to this show, by the way. Let's go down to line five, please. Chris in Huntington Beach on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Chris. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
You tell us.
Yeah, so I'm a big sports memorabilia collector, and this one shop was going out of business, so I bought a whole bunch of memorabilia, and one of the pieces was it. 24 by 30 Wilt Chamberlain signed, beautiful masterpiece, right? Signed Wilt the Stilt. He doesn't even sign like that. Had it matted, Lakers everywhere, loved it. Well, my wife and girlfriend at the time has been known for throwing things. And I'm pretty stealthy like George Bush when it comes to dodging things. So she's in an argument with me. She throws a shoe at me. I dodge it, you know, George W. style. And lo and behold, right behind me is the matted Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain. Glass shatters everywhere, cuts into the photo frame, cuts into the picture, and literally done. $1,200 piece.
All right, I just want to clarify this, though, Chris. So that happened, and then you married her.
I did.
All right. I support that.
Every time I walk around her house and see all the marks in the walls or spots in the doors or injuries I have on my body, I think how much I love her.
Wow.
Okay then. Right. We're going to let you go, and we're going to go over here somewhere else.
Thank you for the call. That's a complicated relationship.
I was trying the best.
Wow, we're getting some great calls here at 1-800-520-1067. By the way, your man with the Stormtrooper outfit is on the phone, Kevin. Do we want to talk to him as well?
Yes.
You told us the story. Eric in Huntington Beach is on line four. He claims he not only bought a Stormtrooper head, but that he also broke it while having sex. Eric, that was a very funny email. You get all the credit in the world for sending it, but it's not true, right?
It is true, 100%.
You were wearing a Stormtrooper helmet while having sex.
Yeah, so the girl that I was dating at the time was into Star Wars just as much as I am. And she asked me to wear it one night. And you really can't breathe in those things, man. It gets all fogged up.
Did you pass out?
I kind of blacked out just a little bit, fell down, and hit my head on the floor and cracked the bucket right in half.
Were you able to repair it?
No, I actually had to buy another one.
Sweet.
That's fantastic. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. All right, man, we got so many good ones. Let's go to line two, please. Marie is up next on the phone from Torrance. Hi, Marie. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hi, good morning. So hi. I was graduating from Cal State Long Beach with my political science degree, and I always wanted pearls, always. But my mom says that they bring tears to your life, like sadness. So she never allowed me to get pearls.
What's wrong with your mom? Then, what kind of thing is that to say to your kids?
It's got
to
be a Mexican
she
thing.
She didn't want to buy her pearls.
It is.
It's a Mexican thing?
What? Yes, it is.
Pearls will bring you tears.
Bring sadness to your life. Yeah.
Okay.
And then for my graduation, she surprised me, and I got some pearl earrings. I was so excited. I always wanted them. I thought they were so nice. And I usually don't like girly things, but I just really like those pearl earrings.
Right.
And I wore them to my after party, which was a huge mistake because I don't know what happened to them.
You just lost them.
To this day, yes, I still don't know. I mean, by the looks of the pictures, I'm not surprised I lost them.
It's quite a party.
But did they bring tears?
They did bring tears.
Actually, they did bring tears because she lost them.
Well, in that case, they did because I lost them.
So how long did you have the earrings for? How long did you actually own them?
Maybe for, I don't know, 5 hours that I can remember.
Ooh. Standing O.
That's fantastic.
That's pretty strong. I don't know why I'm the only one clapping.
Thank you, Marie. Go Raiders. We appreciate the call. All right. Let's get back into cars on line 7. Gerald is calling us from Los Angeles. Gerald, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hey, what's up? I spent about $4,500 on an 89 325 IS, and I plan on fixing it up. 6 weeks later, I'm on my way to go pick up some parts. It's pouring down rain. I'm on the 118 freeway. I hydroplane. I hit the center divider, and I land on the roof.
Of the car that you were going to get parts for?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that seems bad.
Yeah. How long did you have it before you wrecked it?
6 weeks. And I had my 18-month-old son with me.
Good times. All right. Your 6 weeks is nothing to me. Listen to this. Thank you for the call. Steph writes in on the Kevin's Twitter account.
The dude means nothing.
The dude landed on his roof and you don't care.
Whatever. Steph writes in, I bought a car and crashed it the same day 15 minutes after leaving the lot.
That's pretty good.
Another on the Kevin and Bean Twitter account from Desert Bound says, a guy I know left a dealership in his new 911, wrapped it around a tree on his way home in the Hollywood Hills. It was his last drive ever.
Oh, well, that's not an hour.
Wow.
Things took a turn for the worse there.
That's not what we were looking for at all.
We should pre-read some of those.
Tickets for Mumford & Sons at the Forum, Florence and the Machine at the Hollywood Bowl of Monsters and Men at the Greek, and Imagine Dragons at both the Forum and the Honda Center. We got them for you all this week here on the Kevin and Bean Show, including next hour and all week long. Right here on K-Rock. Go to krock.com for all the details. Why don't you?
Bean, I know you're a ferocious workout man. You spend all of your time in the gym.
I'm a little bit of a gym rat, yeah.
Have you heard that bodybuilders are now trying breast milk?
I don't believe I have, Kevin.
Breast milk isn't just for nursing babies anymore. Some fitness fanatics are buying into the health benefits drinking breast milk to enhance their workouts.
Gentleman walked up and asked if I was breastfeeding my daughter.
That's when things got weird.
I'm going to say things are already weird if she's breastfeeding her daughter and the guy walks up.
And then he lingered for a minute, and you could tell he was a little nervous to ask. And then he asked if I would be interested in selling him my breast milk.
Rebecca was understandably startled.
I don't think so, but if you need breast milk, they have milk banks for that, to make sure babies get milk. And he said, oh, no, it's for me. I'm doing bodybuilding and CrossFit.
A search of online forums like Only the Breast is where we found men seeking milk. Some men, however, are using these sites to fulfill a fetish. Several go as far as requesting a wet nurse. So is there any health benefit for adults who drink breast milk? A lactation consultant at Swedish Medical Center says no. Emily Pease says, quote, there is no evidence that I'm aware of that...
All right, whatever. Look,
there were 2 seconds left of that story, by the way, which is just that breast milk is for babies. That's all she was going to say, and then it was over.
Ugh.
Look, bodybuilders try everything to get that edge, just to make that workout stick a little bit better. I have heard of them eating and doing all sorts of crazy stuff. Breast milk is one of the least crazy things I've ever heard. Because think about it. It's just, it's packed with all sorts of nutrition for you. I mean, I can see why somebody might try it.
By the way, that story was from Seattle.
Was it Bean?
Not me. Any story that involves a gym was not me, but I'll tell you who it might have been is Brick Carmichael, who joins us on the phone from the World Atlas Gym in Seattle right now. Brick, thank you so much for making some time for us today, sir. How are you?
Great to be here. How are you?
We're all good.
So, Brick, is this a story a surprise to you, or have you heard of bodybuilders trying to get buffed by...
No, dude, not a surprise at all.
Okay.
Absolutely. You can do an amazing carb load with some booby milk. Boobies!
So, explain the science of this for us, if you would, please, Brick.
Yeah, let me explain to you. You see, breast milk is filled with protein, fat, carbohydrates. For babies, they use it, you know, to grow stronger. Me, I use it to grow ripped!
Do you have trouble locating some? Can you buy it?
No, man, I get all I need, man. Because what I do is, I get some lady, and I go, lady, give me some breast milk!
You just go up to them and just yell at them until they lactate for you?
It's very aggressive, Brick? I feel. Are you getting it from the woman right then? Or
right then and there, yeah.
Oh.
Say, ah!
What?
What's happening?
And I just take it straight from the tap, if you know what I mean, you know?
Yeah, I think we do.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
And have you... doesn't even have to be lactating. I can make her lactate.
I don't...
That's serious. Have you had good results, Brick? Have you noticed any difference in how your workouts are going?
Amazing. First of all, I'm huge. I'm ripped.
Right.
It's amazing the energy that I have and the usefulness that I've gotten from drinking breast milk. The ability, the natural enzymes in there keep you young. I even use it for an enema to keep my colon ripped.
What?
Why would you
have to be ripped?
Yeah, I think you'd rather not have a ripped colon, I think. Maybe poor choice of words.
My Brick? Colon is shredded.
But again, unfortunate. I don't think that's good.
Brick, what's going on over there at the gym? You okay?
So I'm sorry, I'm working out while I'm talking to you.
Oh, you are.
Okay. Great to do a clean and jerk.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
5:36. It's Tuesday, the 9th of March, or June.
Wow. Sure.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Year's not going by quite so fast for Kevin. It is for the rest of us, I guess. Hey, I'm very excited about Tuesday mornings on the Kevin Bean Show. Why, you ask? Because in about 10 minutes from right now, Petros Papadakis joins us, and Ralph will be here, too, for the Bachelorette Report. We don't watch the show, but we get to enjoy the show thanks to you guys.
I can't believe there's another rap on it. That's awesome. Stop shaking your head. No.
I don't know how March. How do you get March? I don't know how you get it. I don't know where it comes from. It's not even understandable. Like,
comes from the calendar.
Oh, I misspoke. Oh, I mixed up a metaphor or something. It's just in March. 2 months off. Not like, oh, I'm still writing May on my checks now that it's early June. March.
Look, I learned from a very wise man that there are some questions that you just will never get the answer to, and the terrorist situation.
The terrorist situation, sure.
And, UFOs. And you'll just never know. That's what I learned from a very wise man one time.
All right. Who was that guy? Who'd you learn that from? Do you remember?
I don't remember what his name was.
I think I remember that wise guy saying that word.
Oh. And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
It's weird to see people jump from I'm not positive what the answer is to it must be, you know, infallible word of God or, you know, in a terrorist, you know, situation or UFOs. You go, it's unidentified, so it must be alien. You go, no, it's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
You're right, Bean, as a wise, wise man right
this
there.
This is why you fail.
We should learn from him. I'd like to sit at his feet like the Maharishi and just sit on a mountaintop and just soak up the wisdom.
He probably wouldn't have any time for you.
He probably wouldn't.
There was another very wise man that I also learned a life lesson from.
You did. And
I don't remember exactly what he taught me, but it seemed to me that the answer that he always asked was stop it.
Is it possible that I have
there was,
that right?
There was one. I remember that. He had one question he always. One answer he would always ask.
Right. And I think you know how you ask an answer.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
And the answer that I think I always ask, and I'm sure it can't possibly be this simple, is stop it. Stop doing that.
That was A Moment
there
with
you go.
Kevin.
Guy speaks truth.
Kev Dog. Yeah. Kev Dog.
And that ain't right.
That ain't right.
That ain't right.
That's true. That guy's right.
That guy's not never been right. More right. That ain't right. I'll tell you what is right, though. This news that the Foo Fighters are bringing Sonic Highways back to HBO.
Yay!
You like that segue? That was an Andy Furman right there.
Here you go.
That's what I call Furman.
Bringing it back.
Yeah, second season of Sonic Highways. Dave Grohl has announced
that
this time
season.
The Musical Cities may be international, just instead of the good old US of A. Or it could just be cities in the UK. Now, Dave didn't give a timetable for when the shooting of the new season would start, but apparently said he's in, and HBO's in, and Foo's are in, so we can see a second season sometime soon. That'd be cool.
I'm so happy about that. I love that first season so much. And what I love about Dave Grohl is his enthusiasm for music. I mean, he's so passionate about it.
Yes.
And loves to explore it and to learn about it and to hear from the people who make it. And it's just, I mean, he's every bit as much a fan as he is a great performer on his own.
He has endless, endless energy and commitment.
Yeah.
Jamie Foxx popped up at a bar in Montana over the weekend. That's got to be weird if you're drinking in your local bar. In Whitefish, Montana. And the next thing, Jamie Foxx hops up on the stage.
Or any other black guy.
That's right. I guess he's they're shooting a movie in the area anyway. He was there and he got up on stage. The whole town has about 6,500 people in it. He got up on stage and started doing an impromptu rap and was saying, "When I say Whitefish, you say Montana." And he got the whole crowd participating.
Terrible rap.
Everybody had a good time. So sounds like he's a fun guy. He's a good man. Nice guy. Clint Eastwood, still in a bit of hot water after making a joke about Caitlyn Jenner during Saturday night's taping of Spike TV's Guy's Choice Awards. Apparently he was presenting an award to Dwayne Johnson, and he said he'd put them in the same categories as other athletes turned actors, including Jim Brown and Caitlyn somebody.
Apparently really, that was his joke?
That was the joke.
That's pretty tame.
But it's also pretty not funny.
Yeah,
true.
And apparently did make some people in the audience feel awkward and made the network extremely awkward. So they have decided to edit that out of the telecast, which will air on Spike TV on June the 18th. So,
help me understand. I know people are super sensitive about anything having to do with the transgender issue, but what's offensive about pointing out that he was once an athlete and then kind of became a television and movie personality?
I don't think that's the point of the joke. I think the point is that Clint Eastwood doesn't know who that guy is anymore because now he's a woman.
So he's all confused by the sex change. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. That makes
if it had been Bruce Jenner, he would have said Bruce Jenner, but this new woman, who's this that now that I'm supposed to be that person?
Right. So he's 5 seconds away from calling her an it, basically.
Right. That's what their fear is. And they think that would be a bad idea for them to air that. And I think they're probably right. Better to err on the side of not hurting Caitlin's feelings. Hello, did you hear
terrorist situation?
And Caitlin has been sued again by another participant in that horrible car crash that happened. Remember when she slammed in the back of that car and people were hurt?
Yeah, that was like January, February?
Yeah.
When was that?
I'm not trusting
you with dates.
I think
it was January.
Right.
Was it March? Was it June? March?
It was 1969. So Caitlyn Jenner has been sued by another participant in that crash. But when she had the crash, she was Bruce.
See? Not her.
That's what I would do. I'd go, good luck finding him. You're right. He was a horrible driver. And I would just skate. The perfect getaway.
Is that how it works exactly?
No, but I think it's really cool how it worked out that way. But I think he should. There's
look at me. Do I look like the person you're describing? Was that that accident?
That dude is a horrible driver? I know, right? Who's with me? Girls? Aren't fellas awful drivers? I'd be snapping my fingers and stuff. Skate. It'd be legally impossible to pin me down.
It's a very elaborate defense. I like it.
I thought so, too. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Michael J. Fox is 54 years old today.
Johnny Depp.
Johnny mother effing Depp. He's the
yeah.
man. He's the freaking man.
Yeah. I know he has had a string of less than beloved movies recently. But his his Whitey Bulger movie, man, how great does that look?
I read an article recently saying the collapse of Johnny Depp, the downfall, the tragic turn of Johnny Depp. And I just didn't get it. I mean, I know his movies aren't hits or whatever. Or people don't seem to like them. Some they like them, some they don't like. All you know, And again, this comes from a perspective where I just worked with the guy on this movie, Yoga Hosers, today with Kevin Smith. And I got a chance to hang out with him a little bit and watch him work. The guy is having the time of his life doing these films. He only does stuff that he really wants to do. He can afford to do that. And he's enjoying the crap out of his life. How is that anything but a win?
Yeah, I don't know.
If you don't go to see his movie, I don't think he really cares. Because he had a great time doing it. If you like it, that makes him especially happy. But if you don't like him, that's fine too, I think. He wins.
He does win. There's no question he wins.
Matthew Bellamy is 37 years old today. Natalie Portman turns 34. Mae Whitman, the lovely and talented, is 27. She's got a new movie, The Duff, that she did with Robbie Amell. It's available on DVD today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
You're missing out. That's
all
I
said. You want to play a friendly? Yeah, let's play friendlies. Let's get some of our guys together and play friendlies.
We don't have time to discuss why Ralph Garman hates America and is not supporting the women's national team, by the way, in their race for the World Cup.
Right, there's nothing American about soccer, let me tell you that.
It's something
right
very American about soccer now in the 21st century.
All right, we don't have time. Is it a friendly? Are they playing a friendly?
No, these games
are legit. Is this a meanie? It's not a friendly. It's a meanie.
Let's take a morning to our good friend Petros Papadakis for the Petros Money Radio Show. We had Matt on with us yesterday. P, a pleasure to catch up with you today, sir. How are you?
Good morning, everybody.
It's time to talk Bachelorette.
Well, his name is Ralph Garman, and he claims to be a man. With Petros Papadakis, always holding hands, kissing and hugging at sunset, watching the Bachelorette. How can you watch that TV show? It both sucks and blows, but you watch it without any regret. Here's the update about the Bachelorette. Woo!
All right, another big episode last night on ABC.
Oh.
Was it great, Ralph?
It was so good. Hey, what'd you think?
You know what? I was a real negative Nancy last week, and I was doubtful, like Thomas doubted Christ.
Right, sure. Good poll.
I had a big issue. It won't be the only religious reference today, guys. This was an epic episode. Ralph was right. Ralph, you were right.
Thank you.
I got sucked in. I was angry. I've been bitter. I've been hurt in my life. But you were right. This is one hell of a season.
We're happy to have you back, P. And I think a large part of my good-natured happiness about this episode was the fact that she got rid of Clint the douche right off the bat. She gave him the boot. He was not to be trusted, P.
He was not to be trusted. He had a big face.
He did.
And, I have a big face, too, but he had a big, good-looking face.
Yeah.
And that's really weird. It's like somebody wearing, like, a face helmet. It was distracting. And she got rid of him because he was just super creepy, and then he had this really weird, homoerotic, brosif relationship with JJ.
Yeah.
And that whole thing just exploded in the most spectacular way I've ever seen anything explode on this show. And there's been a lot of explosions.
First, let's listen to her giving him the boot.
I've been hearing from numerous guys that Clint is one of the biggest douches in Bachelor history. He killed it on the date. He was someone I saw myself with. But at this point, there's just too many red flags. When 13 out of 15 guys are feeling the same way about someone, you gotta go with your gut. He is going to go down in flames.
Yeah, it's gonna go down in flames.
She gets a little riled up and indignant, you know. She needs to pipe down a little
bit. She trots him out in front of the other fellas and says, well, I'm going to throw Clint out, and he's leaving. Say goodbye to Clint because he's going. I don't trust him.
Okay.
And so Clint turns to JJ, his homoerotic brokeback buddy, and says, hey, I have a little help here. And JJ throws him under the bus.
Oh, I don't know what to say. And I want to...
I think you should say sorry to all of us right now because you are taking time and emotions. I think that needs to be said.
Me? I do? Me? I need to apologize?
There's an emotional energy that gets taken away. And as your friend, I just feel like that has to be said, man.
because he knows that she's getting rid of him and she doesn't like him anymore, in front of everyone, JJ goes, yeah, and I think you should apologize to all of us for how you've been behaving, too.
Dude.
Just cut.
He flipped like a snitch in a drug movie.
It was crazy.
It was really ugly. And his boy was just devastated. I mean, he was hurt. It was like he got shot in the gut. I mean, it was worse than watching that child burn on Game of Thrones. It was hard.
It was the most realistic breakup I had ever seen on The Bachelor or Bachelorette. It was when these two squared off against each other. Here's Clint, who was just so hurt that the man he has fallen in love with inside this house would turn on himself.
Here it
Get
is.
Get the out of my face. I wish it wouldn't happen. I told you that I haven't told people in a long time.
Guess what? I told you. No one else knows either. You know what?
You're a piece of like, you're a piece of
upset me. Like, what?
What happened? Did I upset you about?
The stuff they were saying, like, what happened?
I just went in there and I asked you to back me up and you didn't do. Out of my face, dude. You're about to make me lose my cool, and I'm not okay with it.
I know.
Walk away from me.
I will.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm not gonna. I understand, dude.
Have a good night. Hey, I wish you the best of luck here. Hey, that tie goes really good with your shirt.
He just couldn't help himself. He couldn't help himself. I wish I could quit you. But your tie looks really good with that shirt.
I hate you.
I hate you, but you're still really well-dressed.
That's a pretty good tie.
Oh, I hate how nice that tie is.
The only thing that you don't hear is that they're 1 centimeter away from each other's noses.
Oh, yeah.
In that scene.
There's a lot of heat.
The majority of it.
Wow. A lot of heat and very close faces. And y'all, I don't know whether to F you or punch you.
That could have been such a beautiful relationship if it had not fallen apart like that.
But I mean, it was a beautiful relationship.
It was.
They'll
that's
always
right.
have their time in the Bachelor Mansion before it all blew up, you know, kind of like Casablanca. They'll always have Paris.
Sure. That's right. They'll always have Chris Harrison's mansion. So we move on. We get that ugliness behind us, and we move forward into the world of rap with Doug E. Fresh, our special guest of the episode.
I'm sorry, what? Who?
Doug E. Fresh stops by.
Okay.
6 minutes, man.
Six minutes. Doug E. Fresh, you're on.
Yep.
Nice.
To teach all of the bachelors how to rap their feelings about each other and their
what
love
do you mean,
for
no?
Caitlin.
I'm totally in now.
Oh, Caitlin kicked the whole thing off by setting up why she brought all the boys together.
No. I brought you to New York to see if you could compose. Let's go head to head and see your flows. And if you ain't got, no rose.
I love it
so
much.
Yeah, Caitlin.
I couldn't love it more.
That's horrible.
Yes.
I mean, it's not even bad enough to play, and the guys are even worse. And, you know, Caitlin's a bit of a hypocrite, you know, kicking Clint out, acting all hard. She had her whole head in his mouth, like, the freaking, like, 2 minutes before she kicked him out. I just want to mention that, in case we think she's a hero. And what is with making these people rap? I mean, there's nothing worse.
Oh, there's nothing better, is what you mean to say.
You know,
well, they already did the rapping last year with Chris, and it's not going to get worse than that.
And I think it was so awful that they thought, let's do more of this because it's hilariously bad. So they had a rap battle against each other. The bachelors would have to square off and insult each other in front of Caitlin to try to win her affections. And these guys have some mad skills, yo.
1, 2, 3, 8. I'm going to knock you out like a first date. This, me, naturally, even with steroids, you won't look like me.
Uh-oh. She's too small for you, bro. She could fit in your pocket. Plus, for a big guy, you have a very tiny rocket.
It was an unbelievable performance in front of at least 50 ABC PAs.
Now, they're in New York City, and the place is packed with bachelor groupies, and these guys are just crushing it, man, just destroying each other with some mad flow.
Please take your ass back to Florida, because I know she's Gordia.
Yeah.
Hanging with all these kids on a group date, kind of feeling like a bad episode of K+8.
Like 8 Mile, you know?
It was.
Except it was all Asian interns in the crowd.
And then Corey versus JJ. Brokeback JJ and Corey squaring off against each other, and I think Corey got the better of him.
Let me talk about my boy here, JJ. After that first, man, cray cray over there wearing both shoes. No way she's the one she's gonna choose. JJ, you enjoying your stint? Where's your boyfriend? Your boyfriend, Clint. Best be on your toes. I'm here for Caitlin, gonna get the last roll.
So you think you work on Wall Street. You think you're a wolf, but you're really a sheep. All the boys spitting all that prose. Just go back to your NYC hose, Corey. Because guess what?
To call the people you're performing in front of hose is never going to land.
Yeah, the audience is filled with women from New York City. And he says, go back to your New York hose. And the girls were like, they all turned on him in a second.
Let me ask, what's wrong with boat shoes?
Did you take that personally, Pete?
Yeah, I have boat shoes, you know, and I'm kind of a hard ass. You know, what's wrong with having boat shoes?
Do you guys think that the ability to rap, the cleverness that you show when you're put on the spot on a show like The Bachelorette, has any impact whatsoever in how the girl thinks about you?
I don't know.
Does it earn you points at all?
Yeah.
There was sumo wrestling last week.
That's right.
At least they're talking.
Yeah, it's true. Nothing so far this season has really had anything to do with your ability to be in a relationship with someone.
Right.
It's about beating each other up and then rapping. And then later on in the same episode, they all had to audition for a Broadway show for Aladdin to show that they could sing and dance.
What?
Oh, my God. This is happening. Are they confused what show this is?
It's getting very, very competition-oriented on
turning
The
turning into fame.
Yeah.
Yeah, they go to Broadway and they do Aladdin, and then, like, you know, somebody wins and they get to, like, be in Aladdin. And I thought they were going to go out there and do, like, Prince Ali, you
right.
know, and, like, you know, take somebody's turban off. Or, but they, like, literally stood on stage for 2 seconds and were escorted off.
They made them an extra in Aladdin on Broadway. That was the big prize.
This all happened in one episode?
This is all one episode. It's 2 hours. It's a 2-hour episode, Kevin, every week.
Oh, should have known.
It's a marathon.
And then at the end, she decides she's going to bring back a guy from another season of The Bachelorette.
What?
That she got friendly with in the off season that shows up at the rap battle to see her. And she says, okay, you can come in and join now with the other guys in pursuing
me. Are there no rules?
There are no rules.
Is that allowed? What's happening?
They always do this. They always have somebody show up like early in the season when she's gotten rid of a few guys like a month in. They always have some dude show up from another season to piss everybody off and to upset the apple cart so these guys don't become too good of friends. But this is the guy that called Andy out, the last Bachelorette, the lawyer,
yeah,
for having sex with him in the fantasy suite and then not picking him to be the Bachelor.
Right. On the live show, the wrap-up show, she's with the guy she's picked. They all get back together again in the room, and he's like, yo, we boned in the suite. How come you didn't pick me? So he, like, completely outed her for sleeping with him.
Yeah, yo, we boned in the suite was, why did you make love to me that night?
Yes. If you weren't going to choose me. Yeah.
And,
he was hurt.
And he came back. He's all emotional, and he wears the tightest ass pants I've ever seen.
Yeah,
but, and these other guys are going to hate him and rip him limb from limb.
But he's got a nice butt, though, P.
He does have a little ass on him.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't think, you know, that's like a soccer ass. That guy didn't play no football.
Well, P, I am delighted to hear that you were back on and you realize that it is truly a journey to love. And, Ralph, it sounds like you enjoyed it as well. And we'll be back next week to do it all over again. What do you say?
All right.
Well, I still hate myself. I mean, don't get too excited.
All right.
Apple is going to change streaming forever.
That's what they say.
We'll discuss that in a couple minutes.
Yes, talk about the big Apple Music announcement yesterday. Also in the 9 o'clock hour, we welcome Dave Broom to the program. He is the creator and executive producer of The Briefcase, one of the most controversial shows of the summer season. All right, first, though, this is a segment that we will call Bitch Better Have My Burrito. Now, I don't know what the circumstances were. You know, my biggest complaint, Kevin, about any news story is always I am left starved for information.
Yeah, I usually have too much information. I usually, all right, I don't need that much.
Kevin reads the first sentence of an article, and he feels like he's absorbed enough.
I sort of have it, yeah.
Right.
I'm sharp that way, Bean.
The first sentence of this article from NBC News Channel 4 is, a woman pepper sprayed a Del Taco restaurant manager and other customers over a dispute with a burrito. Now, I see that, and I want to know what the dispute was with the burrito.
What did the burrito do?
Like, what has to be wrong with your burrito to send you out to your car to get pepper spray and then back into the restaurant to start just hosing down everyone in the restaurant? This happened in a Del Taco in Ontario. Here's some of the report from Channel 4.
I just happened to look at her, and she sprayed me and the employee in their face. It was terrible. It's awful.
For the first time, customers still wiping their eyes as they describe a woman going on a rampage with pepper spray inside a fast food restaurant.
This happened at a Del Taco in Ontario this afternoon, all because that woman didn't like her order.
This all began when a woman walked into this Del Taco you see behind me so she could complain about her order, specifically a burrito. Witnesses say the woman wanted to file a complaint.
All right now I do have questions about the burrito.
Yes.
Yes. Because how bad can a burrito be?
Yep. You go to Del Taco, what is the entire range of options of things that can either go right or wrong with a burrito from Del Taco?
Well, you go from a pretty decent burrito to kind of a not decent burrito.
Right. Isn't that the I mean, look, if there was a mouse in her burrito, okay, I understand. You go and you say, hey, there's a mouse in my burrito, and they make you a new one. What has to happen to have it escalate to the point where somebody's being pepper sprayed? No, where many people are being pepper sprayed. How do we not know the answer to this question?
Is she pepper spraying people in there as well? Not just
yes.
employees, but also customers?
Yeah, well, let's find out.
But started cursing and acting aggressively. They say she even picked up a bowl filled with business cards and threw it at the workers before heading to the parking lot. The manager followed her outside to get the woman's license plate, but that's when witnesses say the woman began spraying the manager with pepper spray. The woman then chased the manager inside and began spraying everyone, including customers.
Oh my God.
Listen to how excited Chuck Henry is, by the way.
Chuck Henry?
He has not been this happy since he blew up that van in the fires a few years ago. He's so happy.
We spoke to one customer who got sprayed right in her face.
I don't know what to think. I never had pepper spray in my face.
They always do the best interviews on Channel 4.
Sure.
It was terrible. It's awful.
I couldn't believe it. It was surreal.
All because of a burrito.
All because of a burrito.
Witnesses say it happened so fast, they only have a vague description of the suspect, but she may be some kind of healthcare worker because they say she was wearing scrubs. Police say she was last seen driving a silver SUV, an Acura MDX to be specific. As for the victims, none of them had to be taken to the hospital, and some were treated by firefighters here in the parking lot.
Look, I'm with Bean. I need to know more about the burrito.
Yeah. I do too. And I also, what was the manager's plan when the woman throws a tantrum and throws business cards at the employees. Then she leaves. If I'm the manager of a Del Taco, and I don't know what they make, but I don't make enough to now follow that woman out to the parking lot to try to confront her further. I'm just grateful that she's gone.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, you're just happy that she's... She just wanted the license plate.
But why? Because clearly the only reason you would do that is
with business cards.
Yeah.
The only reason you would do that is if you had some plans to report her or to somehow involve the authorities. At this point, I'm just glad she's leaving. The manager is the one who went out and kind of escalated it further to make the pepper spray a thing.
Oh, so he deserved it.
No, I'm not saying
you're saying
victim
he deserved
shaming
it.
Bean. Stop it.
I know it's unlikely, but we do have a lot of listeners in Ontario. If there's any way anyone knows what went wrong with that burrito.
How bad can that burrito be?
That's our question. Please get in touch with Kevin and Bean, and thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:39.
I was looking forward so much to the announcement yesterday at the Apple Worldwide Developers Conference with the introduction of Apple into streaming music. I mean, they've had the iTunes radio for a while, but it hasn't made much of a significant impact compared to things like Beats Music and Spotify and RDO and all the other things and Pandora. But they are now in the game. We wanted to find out what that means to me, the music lover and consumer. So for that, we go to Mr. Ryan Fonder, who's the entertainment business reporter for our Los Angeles Times. Hey, Ryan, how are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much for joining us. I know there was a lot going on yesterday with Apple, you know, a lot of other announcements that they made about upgrades to the system, but everybody was on the edge of their seats talking about, are they going to get into the game and change the streaming business and save the record industry? There was a lot of pressure on them yesterday. How do you think they did?
Well, it was definitely a really interesting announcement. So what they came out with was, you know, their new app called Apple Music, and basically what that involves is three features. One, it's the on-demand, you know, all-you-can-eat streaming music service, similar to Spotify for $10 a month. And they're also revamping their radio offering, which you mentioned previously. And they're also creating sort of a social component called Apple Music Connect, which is, you know, basically like a way for musicians and artists, even unsigned ones, to go and upload new songs, videos for fans to connect to.
And we don't know how cool that feature is going to be yet because we haven't really been able to see it in action. It debuts on, the whole package debuts on June 30th, right?
Yeah, that's right. It debuts June 30th in about 100 countries, which is a pretty wide release. I mean, it's safe to say that's a worldwide release. I mean, most of these services, they tend to come out in countries in this kind of piecemeal fashion. They come out in Sweden, then the U.S., then Italy or whatever. But this is like this is a pretty big rollout.
Is there a free version of it with commercials?
Well, no. With the Beats One, the radio component, that'll be available for people who don't subscribe. However, the on-demand stuff, the Spotify-like offering, it's going to be $10 a month for everybody. But they will offer a free 3-month trial for people to sort of get their feet wet and see if they want to sign up and pay up.
Now, the hard thing in 21st century world that we live in is how to get people to pay for music. And,
right,
you know, Spotify has millions and millions and millions of users, but a very tiny percentage of them opt for the pay, right? And that's been the problem. And that's what people are hoping, that Apple is going to be able to convert a lot more people because the service is going to be so good that you won't want to be without it, right? That's what they're hoping.
Yeah, exactly. And the other factor is that Apple has 800 million user accounts on file through iTunes. So that gives them a pretty enormous user base to go after. And they also have, you know, tons and tons of cash and money to spend on advertising. So I would expect them to promote the heck out of this thing.
Isn't it interesting that Apple is the largest music retailer in the world, but they're essentially looking two steps ahead and going, you know what? Nobody wants to buy music anymore, even though we're the biggest at that. So we're going to basically cut off our own knees by saying, don't buy anything from iTunes anymore. Just own it via streaming.
Right. I think people will still be downloading music a little bit, even though this is clearly going to cannibalize some of that market. But, you know, it does seem like, you know, Spotify, since they've been in the game, the download business has decreased. I think it was 8% worldwide last year. So Apple can clearly see the writing on the wall there that, you know, streaming and subscriptions are the way to go in the future. And so they want to get into that market.
Now, when we started, Bean said that they wanted to also save the record company. Is this doing that? Is this helping the record company?
Well, what the record companies want is not free. They want not free.
They just
music.
Want not free.
Yeah. They want you to not steal music.
Oh.
And, you know, Spotify kind of helped with that with their offering that basically offered, you know, very, very cheap music and access to all-you-can-eat music, either for free in exchange for ads or you could pay the $10 a month. But the record industry doesn't like the royalties that the ad-supported tier gets. And like you noted, that's the version that the vast majority of people are using on Spotify. So the record industry is hoping that if Apple can use its muscle and convert, you know, all these free music users to paying subscribers, then that'll be a boon to the music industry.
And might they pay a higher royalty rate to artists and labels too? Is that a possibility? I know we don't know the kind of behind the scenes, but is that what people are thinking?
Well, we do know a little bit about the behind the scenes, not officially, of course, because they don't like to talk about negotiations like that. But the push from the record executives, who are really making, you know, 11th hour negotiations ahead of this launch, you know, through the weekend, we're really pushing for, you know, at least a slight increase in the royalty percentage that they would get from Apple as compared to Spotify and the others.
Gotcha. This is the voice of Ryan Fonder on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's the entertainment business reporter for the Los Angeles Times, talking about the big announcement, among others, from Apple yesterday about their new Apple Music. How important do you think this angle of curation is for people who are looking for new music, Ryan? Because a lot of people have complained, now that all the music in the world is available at my fingertips all the time, I don't know where to start. And that right. used to be a job that radio did. Radio would be the ones who would direct you, kind of funnel the best stuff toward you. Now people want to do it on their own. And I think Apple kind of made a nod to that yesterday, right?
Yeah. I don't know if people want to do that on their own, actually. It's kind of hard to say because, you know, a lot of the people that I talk to, you know, what they like about Spotify is the on-demand access to everything, anywhere, anytime. But, you know, who has the time to create all these playlists and do all that kind of stuff to sort of make your own radio station? That's kind of what's attractive to people about Pandora, is that you get this automatic music recommendation. So I feel like Apple's trying to put all that into one place. They want the, you know, they want people to get the, you know, full on-demand access, but they also want to get people, you know, to recommend new music to people.
Right. So in other words, a Pandora is more of an algorithm. Apple says that they're going to be doing it with human beings, right? People are going to be creating these playlists for you, and I think that's what they're hoping will be attractive.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
So it won't be like it's a machine talking to you.
So if somebody does that, then I follow them? I mean, how would that work? How would I
we haven't
know
seen
that there's people?
That much detail on that, but it looks like they will be, you know, a feature in the Apple Music app that is dedicated to recommendations.
Okay, yeah, you can, I got you. And you can, like you said, Kevin, you can follow Pharrell's channel, for instance, you know, and it's like stuff that's endorsed by Pharrell, I guess. So we're going to learn a lot more when it is available on June 30th, and we'll all be sampling for free to see if we want to buy.
Right.
Interesting stuff, though, Ryan. Great work reporting on it on the LA Times. We appreciate you coming on the Kevin and Bean Show today. Thank you.
Anytime, guys. Thanks.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:55.
Richard Polito from Simi Valley, thank you for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We just got you tickets for Imagine Dragons at the Honda Center. Got tickets to great K-Rock shows all summer long this week on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock, including Mumford & Sons at the Forum, also Florence and the Machine at the Hollywood Bowl, and of Monsters and Man at the Greek. Keep listening for your chance to win. Ralph is here, Tuesday morning, time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Richard Polito. Polito, of course, Spanish for Little Pole.
Is that right?
Dick Little Pole is his name translated into actual English.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's true.
That?
Real quick email before I get things going here on the Showbiz Beat. This comes from a longtime listener, Edwin, frequent contributor. In fact, the guy's so funny, we should probably hire him. But, Ralph, I'm so confused. Is it March? Is it June? I feel your pain, Edwin, because this morning Kevin was confused. Edwin adds, please help. To please help me, have Kevin give me the military time so I can get my bearings. All right, let's get your bearings, Edwin.
Now. And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
What's 12:07 in military time, my friend?
Say
17:09.
Huh? 17:09.
What? Hold on. What did they say? I don't know. I was thinking 22.
But I'm
but that wouldn't be 17 either, would
why
it?
Why would we jump ahead 2 minutes? Why would it become 09 all of a sudden?
I don't know.
Yeah. That was a moment with Kevin.
Yeah, I sure was. I
clears like, it up for us.
Yep. Now we got our bearings.
I feel like we're not having a lot of fun today.
We are having a lot
oh,
of fun.
We are. Okay, that's up.
Because it's Tuesday, as my good friend Steve Jones used to say. And it's new release day. Now, what? When is Friday? When does Friday become new release day?
I don't know. I think it's next month.
Oh, is it that long?
End of July, I thought.
But I think the Muse album came out last Friday.
The heck you said?
I don't know. I think.
Well, that's what Dave said. I have not heard that from anyone else. But it does happen sometimes where things leak and they rush them out, you know? So maybe that's what happened.
You should get some adult undergarments, if that's
right.
the case.
Right.
New release day, as far as we know, is today, and here's what's available. TV shows on DVD. Allie's very excited about Facts of Life Season 6 being available.
Oh, that finally. Is the best season of that
that's,
show.
That's a season where...
They tackled some good
yes,
stuff.
Yes, that's where Blair's disabled cousin,
nope.
the stand-up comedian,
nope.
shows up. And
it's
a hilarious episode. Nothing nope. funnier than watching... Watching a lady that has a hard time operating drop some mad comedy on you. The Originals, Season 2, that's available. The Last Ship, Season 1.
The Last Ship.
The Last Ship. What was The Last Ship?
That's that show on CBS where they make poor people fight to see who gets on the last ship before they blow up an island or something. And then one family decides, oh, I'm going to give it to them. They're worse off than we are.
The briefcase.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I may be confused.
Talk the Last to that Ship guy next.
Was a show. I thought it was on CBS. Maybe it's not. But it was a adventure on the sea. And
wait a minute. The Last Ship? Was about an adventure on the sea?
Yeah.
Well, now that you put it in such a crisp focus for me, I remember this show distinctly.
It was like a naval destroyer or something like that. It was a legitimate TV show with stars in it.
All right.
None of whom I remember, but there were famous people in that show.
Sure.
Remember that movie, The Car, was about the car that was on the roads of America? Teen Wolf, season four is
I don't have all the details at my fingertips.
You don't have any.
Don't pretend.
All right, it was on TNT.
Ah, that's dynamite.
And it starred Eric Dane and Rhona Mitra and someone named Adam Baldwin.
Wow. Those are some big names.
Someone named Adam Baldwin. Wasn't the actual actor Adam Baldwin. It was just someone named
And it was
him.
Set in the ocean?
Apparently it was the crew of a naval destroyer.
The ship took place on the sea? The adventure took place on the sea?
That's correct, yes.
Huh.
Forced to confront the reality of a new existence when a pandemic kills off most of the Earth's population.
Stop. Movies on DVD. Project Almanac, that's the teen time travel movie. The Duff, with Mae Whitman and Robbie Amell. Kingsman, Secret Service. Oh, what a great film that is. I can't wait. I hope they make another one. Hope
they are making another one.
Oh! Then my wishes were brought to life right there in front of my eyes. CDs, FFS, Franz Ferdinand, and Sparks, and his self-titled album today. Shepherd Has Bombs Away of Monsters and Men. Beneath the Skin is the name of their new album. And Muse has a new album called Drones, some great new music from Muse that may have come out either today or last Friday, depending on who you talk to.
Or a year ago, we don't know.
Here's a couple clips from that new album. This first track is called Reapers. Oh, yeah. It's a little hair bandy. It reminds me of like little rock and roll right there.
That's an actual
a little Eddie Van Halen like in there, and just rock.
Actual rock.
Oh, there's another track called Defector. I'm getting a little Queen hit off of that one. A little Queen taste. A little Queen. When you sip it, you get a little Queen in the back of your tongue there right after you swallow. A
little Tenacious D, too, by the way.
And then Aftermath is the name of this track. A strong Badfinger hit.
No one's I got
Night Ranger.
I got Pink Floyd.
I got a little finger.
You didn't have
I got fingered off of that one.
Didn't happen.
Oh.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Michael J. Fox is 54 years old today. Johnny Depp celebrates his 52nd birthday. Matthew Bellamy of a band called Muse. What are the odds we could tie that all together? He's 37. Natalie Portman's 34. And Mae Whitman is 27 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Oh, we've been looking forward to this since the show The Briefcase premiered on CBS back on May 27th to over 7 million viewers, by the way. It's a big hit, but not without its controversy. Ralph was convinced it's just bum fights, right? That was his read on it just from hearing about it. It was just bum fights. Apparently, there's more to it than that. We welcome the creator and executive producer of The Briefcase, Mr. Dave Broom, joins us in studio.
Great to be here with you guys.
Hey, Dave.
Big fans.
Big fans of yours as well. You are the executive producer of The Biggest Loser.
I am. I created the show, and I still executive produce it.
How about that? And you've been making reality TV for a long, long time.
I have, and I come from radio prior to that, so I love and admire what you guys do.
Sports radio, right?
Yep. Yeah,
good
I did.
Good for you. Where'd the idea for The Briefcase come from?
Well, you know, I like making shows that have a transformational aspect. You know, The Biggest Loser is a good example. I'm doing another one for NBC called Strong. And, you know, I wanted to do something in the world of values and of the things that matter most in your life. Those are tough to make translate to television because they're not the most visual things in the world. But I used a lottery ticket as an opening point for me. You know, we all had that dream of scratching that lottery ticket off one day and going, wow, holy crap, look how much money I just won. Mm-hmm. But there's no mirror that gets put in front of you when you win a lottery ticket. You just go spend the money, you blow it or whatever. I wanted to do something that said, what really matters most in your life? What could you do if you had that money but you had a decision to do something with it? And look, the show is certainly has its controversy with the critics, but it's not only the number one show this summer, but I think most importantly, the fans connect to it in a way that unlike anything on television.
Now, you take families that are having hard times financially.
Yeah, they're middle-class families, and I think that's one of the things that is really being criticized. You know, we're being ripped by the critics saying that these are poverty-stricken families. You know, tomorrow night's episode takes a family that earns $135,000 a year, another one that earns $70,000 a year. It's very important to find middle-class families, so that's where the show
comes. That's a great point, Dave. I'm glad you brought that up, and it's also worth mentioning that families that make $60,000 a year, which at one time in this country was a lot of money, now it is very easy to fall behind on payments,
to be
in debt, and certainly to make it difficult to, you know, for medical if you don't have health insurance or to try to put your kids through school.
Absolutely.
I mean, it just doesn't go that far anymore.
Look, that's the key of the entire series, is that we are all practically, and I'll even include myself, and I'm a successful television producer, and I'm set, but I feel like I'm two or three real problems off from going into a spiral.
Then I'm in huge trouble. That's the case.
And we all are. You know, and that's what these families are dealing with. But if you watch the show, you'll see that it's so much more than just about money. Yeah, look, that gets us in the door. But, you know, tomorrow night's episode that deals with a right-wing Christian family, a wonderful family, very conservative in their views from Texas, looking at the lives of a lesbian, gay, married couple, another wonderful family who want and need money for in vitro. Can you imagine the conversations that take place in a household?
All right.
That's what's going on here.
For people who haven't seen The Briefcase, explain to them the decision that you're giving these.
Well, look, I show up in a middle-class family's home. Me as the executive producer. It's not a game show. It's not a contest. So there's no host. I'm putting my ass on a line out there.
And by the way, not even wearing a suit. Dave just shows up in a T-shirt, man.
That's right.
He's casual.
It's a real deal. And I drop a briefcase with $101,000 cash inside. And I tell them the money's theirs. They can do anything they want with it.
And then you ruin that great mood.
Well, I don't ruin it.
By saying.
I tell them. I actually enhance it because I tell them it's a decision. And that decision is they can do anything they want with it. They can keep all of it, some of it, or in fact none of it at all. Whatever they decide that they might not want to keep, if they make that decision, is going to go to help another family who's also in need. What they don't know at that time is that the other family was also given a briefcase with $101,000, and they're actually deciding to share money with each other.
And by the way, another great point to answer the critics who make it seem like you're making these people do you're not making them eat dirt to get this money.
It's as real as it gets.
The money is a gift. Yeah, I mean, literally they can say, you know what, thanks for the $101,000, Mr. Broom. I'm going to keep it all. Good day, sir.
And I'll tell you what, a lot of people thought that's what was going to take place. They're like, okay, what's going to happen for the next 37 minutes of the show? But there's an amazing spirit in this country. There is an amazing ability of what – if you want to see what we're really made of here in the nation, I'm telling you. Like, it changed my life. It really did. That sounds so like bull, just a bunch of bull. But it's not. The fact of the matter is that the thing that we saw was that the most important comment that came out of every single one of these families' mouths was, what's more important, what's better than getting a blessing that you've given us with a briefcase full of cash is to bless another family with a bunch of cash. And that's what we're dealing with in this country. I'm telling you.
All right. Let me ask you this question then. Did you – you had to foresee that happening. Otherwise, you wouldn't have started this, right? Or was it a surprise?
The only thing that was a surprise to me was that – look, I was a cynic. You know, I'm the son of a New York attorney. I'm in Hollywood. You know, you want to talk about faith in humanity. We can question it every single day. You go around this country, you start to look at middle-class families and realize the sacrifices they're making every single day of their life, whether or not I brought a bunch of cash or just stuck a camera on them, it's happening. And they do it to their neighbor, to their children. They forego things so they can pay for music lessons for their kids. That's what's going on in this country. And I should not have been surprised about that. And I was.
Well, you were.
I was. And you know, it brought me to tears every single night. I mean, I would get into my car. I would look at myself in a rearview mirror for a minute, and I'd start to drive off, and I would really question, you know, what I'm doing in my life, and I'm not doing enough.
You would say, why did I just give away $101,000? I had a briefcase.
I'm the devil. I'm the devil, right? If you read the – I'm the a-hole giving away $200,000 to people in this country.
Well, what am I doing? I have a passport. I know how to get to the airport.
Do you think that the criticism is coming from people that
haven't seen the show, that
a lot
are just
of it is.
Thinking, okay, these destitute, poor families, which isn't even what's happening at all.
But they do have to fight, though, right, Dave?
No. They do not fight.
They each pick a bum and their family.
You know, what's going on is that a lot of the critics haven't seen the show, and that's what's kind of frustrating. I'm going on CNN tonight, and I'm going to talk about it. It's very, very frustrating. To say that we're making the Hunger Games taking poverty-stricken people
is first that's another good idea, though, Dave. You should make that show.
That's season two, by the way.
Not this one, but keep that
season
one here.
Two. I'm going to pocket that one. But the fact is that you've got to get it right. If you don't want to, if you watch a show and you don't like it, I'll respect that. Mm-hmm. But you got to characterize the show for what it is. This is the same criticism I got when I created The Biggest Loser. Oh, you're fat shaming people. Oh, you're making people. I said, what are you talking about? Have you seen these episodes? Do you know that? I mean, look at the brand that I stand for. I don't make, you know, I grew up in Jersey. I don't make Jersey Shore. No offense to that show. I know the people produce it. It's very good for what it is. It's not my brand. I want to do shows that make you think. I want to do shows that provoke you and cause a conversation and a debate in your house. And the fact of the matter is that don't tell me that a family that's $135,000 or $71,000 are poverty. They are a struggling middle class. That's what this country's dealing with. And to say that we're pinning these people up against each other, by the way, is disgusting of a comment. And I want to slaughter the critics for that.
I do want to ask about your brand, Dave, because you have a show on your resume that I don't recall called Ashley Page Bikini or Bust. Now, what was the takeaway of that show, sir?
You know, that was a long time ago. It was on TLC, and she is a wacky bikini designer and an independent small business. And it was a follow doc, and it was a real thing. You know, my shows are very real. Like, they're not like staged, they're real emotions. And she was a crazy character, but it was a follow along. It was, she was a nutty, great television. But again, not what you would look at as train wreck by any stretch. It was just following the life of somebody trying to make it in the design business.
Well, I wouldn't have minded a few more bikinis in the briefcase show, man. Just throw it all together.
Yeah, that's what America wants to see, me in a bikini.
All right, we got to take a break. Dave Brew is here. He is the creator and executive producer of The Briefcase. As we mentioned, one of the most controversial and highly rated shows of the season right now. It's Wednesday nights at 8 on CBS. I want to talk about some of the people that you have met doing the show and also what I thought was going to sink the show in the first minute, Dave, and I don't know how you managed to not let this happen. We'll discuss more with our guests right after this on K-Rock. Wednesday nights at 8 on CBS television is a show called The Briefcase. The creator and executive producer of the program, Dave Broom, in studio with us. Here's a little bit about his show.
Two deserving families are about to receive a briefcase with $101,000 inside.
Is this really my money?
And will face a life-altering decision.
You can keep all of the money.
You can keep some of the money.
Or you can give it all away.
All right, let's stop right there.
How about the fray in that song, by the way? That's the fray in our super tease. It doesn't get better than that.
here's the question that I'm sure you guys thought about when you took this thing out to the field, because you have no idea what these people are going to do.
Yeah.
Why doesn't everybody just go, hey, I got so lucky. This guy walked through the door with all this cash. I'll keep half. I'll give the other half away. And everybody goes 50-50. Like, that seems like the most logical way to do it. Why doesn't that happen?
But that one family doesn't know the other family's going to get
right.
the money.
They
right?
don't remember something. They don't know that the other family's got a briefcase yet. They're in their own dome.
Right.
They're in their own
environment. But you give them the choice of being able to give the money away to another family that at the beginning they know nothing about. Why don't they all just say, I'll keep 50, I'll give the other family 50?
I think at first some families think that. You know, they go, well, we'll split it down the middle. But the great thing about the show is it really forces them to evaluate their lives. They start to think about what's really important in their life. Do they need 50? Maybe they say, you know, we thought we needed $50,000. But at the end of the day, maybe we don't. Maybe we can bless another family with even more. Or they do the opposite. They go, you know what? We need more than $50,000 to get by. We have to fix this. Or we want to pay for our kids' college education or whatever. And that's the spirit of the show. It's evaluating your life. It's also, if you've seen the first couple of episodes, you'll see that there are conversations that are not taking place on network television. You know, the premiere episode took Kim and Joe Bergen. We talked about, you know, Kim Bergen throwing up on the side of the road because the emotions got so high to her. But Joe Bergen hadn't made a financial decision in 20 years of his marriage with his wife. And he's burdened her to the point where, I mean, this poor lady has had to take care of everything in their life financially. So at the end of this journey, he turns to her and he says, I'm sorry. I was a jerk. I never should have done that. I'll tell you one of the surprising things that I found in making the show. Women in this country, especially middle-class families, they – God bless them. They are running the household. They are running the finances. To all of the K-Rock female listeners out there, I know that they can relate to this because they are unsung heroes in many ways. And I'm seeing that in the making of this series.
I love that married couples who have been together for a long time, love each other, very happy, they realize they come down on such different sides of this question when it's presented. I mean, they just do not see it the same way.
They don't.
There's some real tension between some of those families.
There's tension. Look, when I had the idea for the show, I called up my very best friend, who is a very given guy, by the way, and I got him on the phone. He's back in Jersey, and I said, hey, here's the scenario. I ran it by him. He goes, what, are you kidding me? I'd keep all of it. All of it. I wouldn't even think about it. $100,000, Dave. Not game over. Over. Goodbye.
So you don't even have a show. Is his concern.
I said to, and then literally, I'm driving the car. I'm down the 101, and I said, hey, put your wife Gloria on the phone. I want to ask her a question. So she gets on the phone, and I say the same thing. And she goes, oh, I think I'd have to give it all away. And the next thing I know, they are arguing with each other.
So you're
and I hang up.
People,
I'm going,
couples fighting.
I gotta go. I'll see you later. I think I got a hit on my hands. Yeah, you know, it's not the fighting. It's actually the conversations that should be taking place in a house sometimes that are not. You know, the great thing about this show, and I think a good thing about a real reality show, is that it's thought provocative. It causes some uncomfort, you know, uncomfortable situations. And you have to buckle yourself in to watch a show like The Briefcase because it's that real and it's that genuine. But you will come out of it. I believe you'll come out of it with a potential life-changing opportunity for yourself. And I really believe that.
So much crying on the show, so much crying from the viewers. Isn't that the first thing you started hearing when this thing aired is everybody was crying?
Yeah, I did. And I was looking at Twitter just now, and I was showing the guys in the back here prior to coming on in the green room how many people saying it's the most inspirational thing they've seen, and I'm in tears, and I think that's good. Look, I like making people cry. I really do. You know?
Well, you came on the right show.
So do we, but for different reasons.
All right, we're almost out of time, Dave. Talk about this week's families. There's something exceptional about them.
Yeah, tomorrow night's episode is hopefully Emmy-winning, but more importantly, will change people's lives. It takes a wonderful right-wing Christian conservative family in Texas, and they're about to learn about the lives of an equally wonderful gay lesbian married couple in Boston who have taken in their own two nephews, fostered them, and now need money. They want to have their own child. If you can imagine a conversation between Matt Wiley, our Texas father, and his 16-year-old daughter as they're shooting pistols out in the range and saying, hey, we learned about this other family, and we learned that they're a lesbian couple, and they need money for in vitro. And she goes, wow, I don't believe in that. You know, I believe that it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Burn.
And then it pauses for a second, and she goes, but I got to tell you, I don't have any problem in them being a lesbian. I don't have any problem in them wanting to have the baby, and I would give them money if
I had
that.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about that, is this sort of feels like they are either condoning or not condoning by giving them money, which is absurd.
Yeah, it's not. I think that's an interesting point. It's can a Christian family in Texas with their conservative views and a lesbian gay married couple in Boston find the things that they have in common with each other rather than the things that are so different? And that's the spirit of the show. And I'm telling you, it will take your breath away tomorrow night. I promise you. And listen, I'm on Twitter. I'm very vocal. I'm going on CNN. I'll give my Twitter handle out. It's Broome88. Broome88. Watch the show. If it doesn't, if you watch it and don't like it, I will respect it. But I think it has an opportunity to affect your life. It's an 8 o'clock show on CBS for a reason. We want families to watch it. Every family that is watching the show is telling me that it's taking them 2.5 hours to sit through it because they're stopping down and having conversations with their kids. And that is the best thing you can expect.
And you said these families are keeping in touch. They have made lifelong connections.
Yeah. Look, there's a family that's now been grouped together. They love each other. There's no loser in this. This is not a contest. They all come out with their life benefited way that they've never expected. They've got a blessing. They have an opportunity to bless someone else. They are a close-knit family. Tonight, the family's going to come on CNN. They're going to talk about it. This is it's on with Don Lemon tonight if any of you want to watch it.
It's almost like they survived a plane crash together or something like that. So they're bonded. or survived Dave Broome coming to their house with a briefcase full of cash.
I think that they've learned something from each other, and they've learned from their partner. Like you said, you know, they have an opportunity to talk to their spouse, but at the same time, they get a chance to walk into those other families' shoes. They go into their life, they visit their homes, and you know, there's a relatability. It's like, wow, we think we've got struggles, or we think we're dealing with our issues. Look at what these people are dealing with. And that is such what this country is made of. Look what we do here. We give money to strangers. A Nepal earthquake takes place around the world. We give money when we don't even have it. Can you imagine finding an identity with somebody and how powerful that might be for the opportunity to help that family out, that when you actually know them?
I enjoy the fact that these families, a lot of times at the very beginning, are like, we're going to keep it all. And the amount of time from there till they're talking about giving most of it away is 30 seconds. Sometimes it's insane how quickly they get to, oh, you know what? We probably should give it away.
Well, in 72 hours is kind of like the right amount of time that we shoot the show kind of in real time, because it's just the amount of time for you to really dig down to who you are. Not so much time that you start to think, well, how am I going to look on television? And not too little time that you make a knee-jerk reaction. So in testing it, it was just the right amount of time to put the people through the emotions and really figure out what matters most in their life.
Well, I'm not a huge reality TV fan just in general, and I had not checked out The Briefcase despite the controversy until I knew you were coming in, Dave, and I'm so glad I did. It really is a wonderful hour of television, and it is not what people think it is, and I urge them to check it out. Wednesday nights at 8 on CBS. Continued success with it. Really nice to meet you, Dave.
Hey, thanks so much for coming. Thanks for the opportunity and the honesty, and I really appreciate it, and I love your guys' show, and I really mean that.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:42.
Ralph, did we turn you around on The Briefcase?
It's going to change my life.
It might, man. That's, you should check it out. Seriously, you should watch it.
No, it takes 4 or 5 hours to watch it because you keep stopping, and then you have a debate, and then both sides debate, and then there's a vote that goes on in the household.
Look,
and then,
I don't have
then
any...
Usually you make a quilt, and then
you make a quilt?
Yes, and then you give that quilt
to
a family that is quiltless.
I don't have any personal stake in this show or investment in any way, but I think you should try to check it out tomorrow night and see if you like it, because I really think you will. Honestly, I think you'll really like it.
It's happening right now.
I have no idea. Bean bought some stock in.
No, not at all. I'm just telling you, it's
Broom
not
Productions
what you,
or something.
It's not the
it
show
isn't
you,
what
think
you think
it is.
That's true.
That's all I'm saying is I know we all kind of made fun of it for being bum fights, but it's really not that.
No.
It's actually a pretty cool show.
And everyone learns an important lesson about life and love. It's life swap that way.
And you know me, I don't watch anything on CBS except for 60 Minutes. It's my least favorite television channel, but I'm telling you, it's a good show.
I got nothing but time to add more TV shows to my life, and I think The Briefcase will be the first on the list.
Time for the Showbiz Beat now here on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
Speaking of television, if you want real debate, if you want real issues discussed and thought about in a thoughtful way,
okay,
you got to go to Fox News.
Sure.
And Bill O'Reilly in particular.
Sure. Well, he brings the nuances that a lot of the other reporters, they leave out of the news.
Right. And, you have to look behind the flash, behind the sensationalism, to get to the heart of the crux, if you will,
okay,
of any given topic. And that's what Bill does so well. Last night, Bill O'Reilly was covering the Caitlyn Jenner story. Of course, Caitlyn Jenner.
No good can come from this.
On the cover variety of Vanity Fair magazine, and causing a lot of attention to the transgender community and to Caitlyn's decision herself. And so Bill thoughtfully took a new tact, I think, a new angle on the story by sending reporter Jesse Waters to Amish country to interview the Amish about what they thought about Caitlyn Jenner.
What are you talking about?
Haven't you thought the whole time this has been going on, sure, Caitlyn Jenner has transformed herself into a way that will make her happy, but what do the Amish think about this?
I've never
Didn't
asked that on any
mind?
Topic.
Didn't it cross your mind, Kevin? Oh, how do the Amish feel?
Yes, it did.
Well, they went to Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, just minutes away from my hometown of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and they asked the Amish there, as they were selling their produce off their buggies, they showed them the cover of the picture, and the picture of the cover, rather, and said, "What do you think? This is a man. How does that make you feel?" Oddly, the Amish were not so on board.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm.
Couldn't have predicted that.
Yeah. But I'm just... We live in a golden age of television journalism.
So Bill said, "I don't want to say anything. Let's let them say it."
Yeah.
The Amish say anything. Hope this helps our ratings. Hope the Amish start tuning in. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Sad news. Legendary Los Angeles attorney Vincent Bugliosi has passed away.
He was, I remember growing up watching this guy thinking, he's like Batman. This guy's like Batman.
I don't know anything about him.
He was the DA, Kevin, who prosecuted the Manson family for their murders, their participation in the murders of the Tate-LoBianco murders in the late 60s, early 70s. And he was tenacious and just would not, he was a dog with a bone. This was his mission. He was not going to stop until Manson and those responsible were behind bars. And I remember just reading the book Helter Skelter when I was young. And it's fascinating. Which he wrote. It's one of the great true crime books of all time. And he was just like a superhero in a suit. I mean, he was such a crusader for justice and all. A real cool guy and a legend here locally in Southern California. That passed away after battling cancer for years at the age of 80. So I just want to give him a shout out. It's not really showbiz news, but the book was made into a very terrifying miniseries called Helter Skelter on television. And I remember the Mansons, there was a time in America where Manson was as close to the devil as you could find. Just, if you wanted to use an example of pure evil, Manson was the guy. Now he's sort of like a sad, old, dying guy.
Crazy
in prison,
old guy.
Crazy. Oh, hey, look at that. Oh, he's got a girlfriend. Everybody makes laughs, but there was a time where he was terrifying. And so, Vincent Bugliosi, a talented crusader for justice, is now gone.
Do you remember that movie that came out a couple years ago? I don't think it was super successful. Maybe Billy Bob was in it, but it was about the hospital where President Kennedy was taken after he was shot. It was called Parkland,
right?
Parkland, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That was also based on the book that Vincent Bugliosi wrote about the Kennedy assassination. That was considered one of the greatest books on the subject as well. I mean, the guy was a real smart guy, real good investigative journalism, in addition to being a tremendous DA.
Yeah. Congratulations to actress Carey Mulligan and her husband, Marcus Mumford. They are expecting their first child. New York Daily News reports that she was the topic of conversation at the Tony Awards Sunday night because she had a bit of a baby bump. And they are in the family way. They say if it's a boy, they're going to name him Banjo. Which I think is adorable and appropriate.
It's cute.
Banjo Mumford.
Yeah.
Sure. Wouldn't that be adorable?
Well, there's no way it's a girl.
Well, why?
No way it's a girl.
Mumford and Son.
Oh, my goodness.
And that ain't right.
That ain't right.
That ain't right.
It's true. Really that guy is right. That ain't right. Betty White.
Stop it.
Yes. Yes. What's Betty up to?
Is still so much in love with her late husband, Alan Ludden, that she hired a psychic to try to contact him on the other side.
Oh, what a psychic.
That's sad.
This according to the National Enquirer, so take it with a grain of salt, right?
Yeah.
But she tried to contact Alan Ludd on the other side, but ran into some interference, says the story.
Some interference?
Yes, because the psychic kept...
What? The psychic kept... Yes, Ralph.
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
Nope.
That
okay.
Wasn't happening.
All right.
No. It's like you kept being interrupted by B. Arthur.
Oh. It's not a real story.
Who would intercept the communication.
What?
So.
And start calling Betty White dirty names.
Betty White is a filthy old tramp.
B. Arthur kept chiming in, according to the story, calling Betty White every dirty name under the sun.
I can't believe she would do that.
Well, B. Arthur did not like Betty White, and so even in death, apparently, she is holding on to those bad feelings. So she's trying to talk to her late husband, as she kept getting B. Arthur. You know what that's like. When you're trying to talk to someone and B. Arthur keeps interrupting.
That does
sure.
suck.
And lastly, you're on a Southwest flight.
Yes.
Go with me on a little journey, won't you?
Okay. All right. We're on a Southwest flight.
We're on a Southwest flight from Phoenix to Las Vegas, Nevada last Saturday.
That's got to be about a 30-minute flight?
Yep. It's time to start handing out the pretzels and peanuts to passengers. And who gets up to help the flight attendants? But Flavor Flav is on your plane. And he decides he's going to take it upon himself to start help handing out the snacks.
Flavor Flav.
He started running up and down the aisle, entertaining everyone, announcing that today the back of the plane is first class. What? And everyone was very annoyed.
Yeah, boy!
Can you imagine being stuck with that for half an hour in the air and no way to get out?
Fly, bird, fly!
I would take my chances. I would hit that hatch, I would blow that door, and I would just take my chances.
I would love that if Flava Flav was on my flight.
Of course you would. You love all things bad.
How dare you?
Actually, the travelers say they were quite impressed. He took selfies with anyone that asked.
I have a Flava Flav alarm clock, Ralph. I do. He said it, and he says,
Flava Flav!
No. Yep. Really?
Wow. Yep. Giant clock.
Add that to the list of problems that you have.
Chest.
B. Arthur kept calling her dirty names in the afterlife.
She hates her.
She hates her.
I hear that's true.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Mae Whitman is 27 years old today. Natalie Portman is 34. Matthew Bellamy turns 37. He's the singer-guitarist for a little band we like to call Muse. They've got a new CD out today, by the way. It's excellent. Recommend you pick it up. Johnny Depp's 52, and actor Michael J. Fox celebrates his 54th birthday today. I am Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have a brand-new Internet Roundup. We have Adam Tischauer from Camp No Counselor.
Oh, sweet Lord. Get B. Arthur on the phone.
Which is a day camp for adults.
Oh, grow up, people.
Sounds awesome.
You don't need a day camp. You're grown-up people.
And we have in studio Tenacious D.
What the what?
Tomorrow morning on an all-new show. Thank-